That's your July packet right there in that one. Call Rob. What's your shirt say?
Probably a Walmart special.
I thought those pictures made out of Word, but I guess not.
I'm a good.
They don't buy from us, of course.
Yeah.
No bad days.
Oh, okay.
I know a couple, but I can't tell you.
Yeah.
Did you go listen to Buddy Guy?
I know.
Are you a blues guy, Rick?
Do that unless you know,
Are you a blues guy?
Because I'll just come in there and
like the blues?
Just, you know, 10.
Yeah, not as much as rock, but it's okay, yeah.
I went to that show, yeah.
You like that Quentin,
yeah.
Where's Mindy and those guys? Oh, Mindy wasn't here. Okay, that's right. What was I thinking?
Yeah.
That was there. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I will see.
Sorry for the brief delay. We'll call the meeting to order. Would you take the roll, please?
Henshaw.
Here.
Hello.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Nimitz.
Here.
Hubs.
Here.
Please note that Leonard and Walters are asking an excuse.
Thank you. Is there any conflict of interest that anyone needs to report with respect to tonight's meeting? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
Also move to approve the agenda of July 10th, 2018.
Support.
Been moved by Commissioner Nimitz with support by Commissioner Syke to approve the agenda for tonight's meeting of July 10th, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The agenda is approved. We next need to approve the minutes of our regular meeting of June 5th of 2018. And I saw one.
Of course.
I'm sorry.
I missed it. You got it.
Well, I think on the top of page 4, it says Chair Tubbs opened the public hearing at 6:23, and I presume that should be 7:23.
Yeah. I'm dyslexic.
No, you're on the other time zone.
Yeah.
So that was the only thing I saw that needed to be revised. Any other revisions that anyone saw that we should make to the minutes before they're approved? Hearing nothing further, I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes as revised.
Motion to approve as revised.
I'll support that.
It's been moved by Commissioner Henshaw with support by Commissioner Syke to approve the minutes of our regular meeting as revised of June 5th, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Minutes are approved. Next item on the agenda is public comment. If anyone would like to address the Planning Commission to make any comment with respect to anything that's not on tonight's agenda, we'd be happy to hear from you.
Can we approve the site minutes?
Oh, did we not? Oh, I'm sorry that we did not.
No, it's okay.
Thank you. Go back. I apologize. We need to approve the site review minutes of June 5th, 2018 as well, and there are two sets of those minutes, correct?
Yeah.
Any revisions or corrections we need to make to those minutes? Hearing none, then, I'd entertain a motion to approve both sets of those minutes.
I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Been moved by Commissioner Grollo with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve the site review minutes, both sets of June 5th, 2018. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Those are approved. Thank you, Judy. We'll next go into reports. Township Board report. Mindy is not here.
I can give a
okay.
One.
Sure.
We met with the board last night. Last night was one of their quarterly review of status of township departments and things like that, so there wasn't really much in the way of outside items other than they did approve an amendment to the sidewalk ordinance incorporating those new areas of sidewalk that are there along US 31 that were put in last year. They had a report from the accountant as well as the auditor. So entertaining. I'm glad I didn't go into finance or accounting. And then the township engineer spoke as well and reviewed some ongoing projects that they have going on with the township and some upcoming events and things. And then Leslie and I presented the planning and zoning report. Some of it I'll cover here in a few minutes, but basically through the first half of this year we've had nearly as many cases before the Planning Commission as we had all last year. So if you think you've been busy, you have. So, and then we talked a little bit about parks as well because we're helping parks in terms of their getting their 2019 to 2023 plan out. And then they had a conversation with them as well. So that was basically what took place at last night's board meeting.
I have a question. Can I ask Rick a question?
Mm-hmm.
Rick, we have something buzzing around kind of the lakes area, and I don't know when that's going to be on the agenda regarding the sale of easements to the lakes. Is that something that started? Or
that was one of those rumors that if I had a nickel. But it was unfortunately a rumor that was started mistakenly by a park commissioner.
Okay.
They were out visiting the various properties the township has throughout the township. I guess we'd have them only in the township, right? Visiting each one of them, and among those were some of the 20-foot easements.
Mm-hmm.
And they made a comment about, we're looking at our parcels and what one, you know, something to the effect of, you know, what wants to keep and to sell. And the sell part got out there, and it wasn't necessarily those that they were looking at for that, or they were just assessing them because they hadn't seen all of them.
Right.
And unfortunately, that spread like wildfire. And the township supervisor addressed that specifically last night during the board meeting. So if you want to watch the first few minutes of the board meeting from last night, you can see where she talks about.
Okay, then someone had
slip of the tongue that gave the wrong impression.
No, someone said that it wasn't addressed last night, and I didn't look quite yet because I didn't know it was up, but I appreciate
right
that. Okay, good enough. Thank you.
Any other questions for Rick? Okay, appeals board report, Ted.
We had one appeal for another on the lakes for a deck, and it was approved.
Okay. Any questions for Ted?
They have several coming up next week.
Pardon?
They have several cases next week.
The
ZBA
board appeals?
Does. Yeah.
Going to keep you busy next month, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Planner's report, Rick?
Yes. Short-term rental ordinance was adopted by the board in June. It is technically legally in effect, but we're not putting it into operational effect until we have all the I's dotted and T's crossed. They have to decide on the fee and the application, and we're also working on getting a consultant. Just to give you an idea, there are firms out there that, and we've had a conversation with one of them called Host Compliance, and what these firms do is they create algorithms that scan all the various Airbnbs, VRBOs, and the top 50 sites on the internet, and they can determine where there are rentals going on based on these algorithms. And because if you've ever been on Airbnb or VRBO, they don't say the address of the property. So they can do monitoring to find out if properties are being rented that should have gotten licenses and things like that. Or if we require one rental a week and they're doing it twice a week or something like that, they can track that type of stuff. They can also do 24/7, 365 hotline for people that have complaints and get back with code compliance to the property owner and stuff. So we've sent out five or six RFQs to firms that do this type of work. They went out. Sorry, got a frog in my throat. We sent those out today for them to do administrative and/or compliance services. for the township. That will take some of the pressure off the staff. It would also give people 24/7 access for complaints. And the prices are actually quite reasonable, considering the scope of services that you can get. So we will be hearing back from those mid-August. Hopefully the board will decide on choosing one in September. And then once that's all done, then we'll start having people turn in their applications and have them, you know, processed and ready to go first of the year is the goal here. So we've gotten a lot of phone calls about them, and we have it on the website, but as we tell people, it's, while it's technically legally in effect, it's not operationally in effect currently. So, secondly, the Michigan Association Planners Health Communities Planning Grant, the technical assistance grant that we had or received, we met with Wendy Rampson a couple of weeks ago and as a group and decided on the project that we're going to do as part of that grant. And what we're going to do is have Beckett and Rader put together a concept plan for the community garden here at the Township Hall as part of that technical assistance grant. So we have a basic concept plan that we can give to the Park Commission that they can use for their seeking funding and things like that. So that project will wrap up September, October, that time frame. We have a new intern who I believe is here. I want to stand. That's Caitlin Aldrich, and she started last week. She's going to be helping us keep you guys out of trouble. And besides that, she will be doing, she's going to be updating slash creating the planning department's webpage so people have an easier time finding things, because it'd be nice to get a couple of dollars every time I had to explain how to get to the zoning ordinance to people. That'd be wealthy right now. And then she's also going to work with the Beach District team to establish a web page for them. It's going to show the various businesses on along the Beach District and how you can get a hold of people and then projects that are going on and stuff like that. And then she'll be doing other things as well, I'm sure, helping us streamline the zoning ordinance and maybe the park and recreation plan as well. The Beach District team also met 2 weeks ago and kind of established the leadership of the team. One of our
illustrious leaders is here this evening.
R.C. Herman, and then Jonathan Pack, who is the manager of the Cherry Tree Inn, and then Peter Fedor, who owns the Green Square office building over there by Culver's, are the three members who currently are in amongst our leadership. We have seven or eight people that are regular members that are business owners, et cetera, along there, but those are the three so far that are among the leadership. And then last night, Paul Gonzalez, who I believe is sitting behind me here, was appointed to the Planning Commission to start in August. As you may know, Commissioner Grollo will be leaving us after this meeting tonight. He's enjoying touring, following the Blues everywhere, so I think he's going to be doing that. You can find him in New Orleans, right?
Right.
Or Memphis, either one.
Probably not.
And
find me down the road a ways, but
you know. And then, as I mentioned, we had a very busy first half of the year, especially here at the Planning Commission. In terms of land use permits, we're a little bit behind last year, but the last day and a half have kind of made up a lot of that. I think we had 63 through the end of June, and we've had 10 in the last 2 days. So that kind of shows there was a pent-up demand during the Cherry Festival or something. And then you have several more cases that are coming to you in the upcoming months. It's not going to slow down by any means. I mean, we've got obviously a sketch plan tonight that eventually will probably come to you. Elmbrook Golf Course will eventually come to you. Irish Boat Shop has a small project that will be coming to you in August. And then we have some potential residential developments hither in Yarn in the township that could be coming to you soon as well, of various sizes, anywhere from a small scale to a much larger. And then one last reminder, like this month, the first Tuesday is occupied by an event that causes us to have to move our meeting because the primary is on August 7th. So our meeting in August will be on the 14th. So mark your calendars accordingly. You have been warned. So
I'll jot that.
And Louie will come just for the fun of it.
Better to put it back a week, because if I show up on the 7th, then
well, you can vote.
At that point, I'll
early
realize
vote often, the 14th. Right? As they say in Chicago. Other than that, that's all I have.
Thank you. Any questions for Rick? Just to take the opportunity to welcome Caitlin to the office. So welcome. I'm sure you'll enjoy working with both of these professionals. Also, just to recognize Paul, and we'll look forward to seeing you starting next week. And then obviously, thank you to Louie for your dedication and time that you've given to the Planning Commission. It's been most appreciated, and it's been a pleasure to get to know you as we've been working together here for the last few years.
So. On the way in here, it was kind of nice to get to know the different people on the board here that I hadn't really known before. So,
thank you for it's been great having you a member of the Planning Commission.
And I enjoyed it, but I just don't know that I should be doing it.
So we all have our reasons for that. So, but anyway, just want to let you know that you'll be missed and appreciate it. So, thanks.
Rob, if I could add one more thing, I forgot to mention our correspondence. We received it. Dan Leonard included we printed an email for you from Dan Leonard on some of his thoughts, and then there was some other correspondence regarding tonight's cases that we gave you from MDOT and from Hampton Inn and from the State Park. That Mr. Mansfield and his firm has provided, and then he's provided some of the other documents to see he'll be presenting shortly, but you have on your desk as well.
Yeah, well, thank you, and I did have a chance to briefly review those, which is why we were about 5 minutes late getting started in the meeting. And I wasn't going to introduce those during the correspondence section of the agenda, but rather when that came up.
Okay.
And if you and or Doug could summarize that correspondence for us and for members of the public that are here, rather than me reading it at this point in time, that would be great.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Next matter then up for business, old business, is the site plan review 4-18, East Bay 1 LLC. This is time for removal from a postponement and for action by the Planning Commission and public hearing. And this is a proposed hotel development along US 31 North, which would be just to the east of the Hampton Inn and just to the west of the State Park, if I've got it correctly. Doug?
You first. Go ahead. Okay. Well, thank you, everyone, for being here tonight on this July. July is always one of those months where, really, are they going to show? You know, so it's greatly appreciated, I will say that. Doug Mansfield Land Use Consultants, 830 Cottage View Drive, Suite 201, Traverse City, Michigan, 49685. When hence I left you a couple months ago with this project, I think it was, and I think staff's report tonight kind of confirms that we're about 80% there. We've got a couple of outline issues that we had on this hotel. One of those was the fire department's request with their new ordinance, which is adopted by the township board, which requires that there, for any building that's over 30 foot tall, there has to be two accesses. And those two accesses now have to be remote from each other. As I said in May when I was here, it's not a very well-written ordinance. It's, but it is objective. There's not a lot of play in it. It actually describes the distance as being half the diagonal depth of the property, and it kind of takes that every property is this square box, you know, that has an alley in the back and is easily achievable. Not so in the real world, and this is just one of these times, and I think we have to go through the process of understanding how to mitigate the situation. So my hat's off to the staff, and your supervisor did a wonderful job reaching out to the community and people involved. And we've had about six different meetings with different agencies, from the fire department to MDOT, with the parks, correspondence with the Hampton Inn, staff work here. So at this time, where we're at is the issue is we need to get to this point, okay, which is remote from the primary entrance with a 20-foot drive lane, okay? It's called an apparatus road, fire apparatus road. We could also get down to this point in about the same area. As in our previous plan, we are providing the interconnections up to our property lines as we've always done in East Bay Township. However, we find ourselves in a built environment this time with a 40-year-old hotel, the Hampton Inn, and the state, which kind of doesn't play the same games, and it's pre-existing anyways. So we met, we reached out to the Hampton, okay, and we said, you know, this is what we'd like to do, and your supervisor did too. I mean, and staff did. It was. I applaud everyone, and I applaud Hampton Inn. Locally, Hampton Inn said we don't generally have a problem with it. Okay.
Are you suggesting there's a corporate office to Hampton Inn?
What it is, it's a loan. It's part of a mega loan. The financing on it. Okay. So the attorney for the owner and the operations of it says, we understand we'd only be losing 3 parking spaces. Our operations don't really see a problem with it. We work with East Bay Township. We understand at some point we're probably going to have to do this. But so the attorney reached out to the mortgage holder. Okay, this is part of a portfolio of loans. So what would happen is you'd have to open up this portfolio of loans to look inside this one small hotel in Traverse City, Michigan, and uncover and do appraisals and everything else, because maybe not so much in East Bay, but you lose a parking space in downtown Traverse City even anymore, and it's $30,000-$40,000 worth of value. We see that. You do that in Boston, New York, that parking space is priceless when that advertisement comes out, right? So losing 3 parking spaces is a big thing to a lot of people. But just opening up that loan, the letter you've had from the Hampton is, okay, this is what we need to do. If you want to proceed with this, I'll set up an escrow agreement with your client. You put $100,000 into that escrow agreement and give us about a year, okay, and we'll decide whether or not we want to do this. And it's all attorneys. My respect, Chairman, to open up that loan. Okay, we got our answer from them. And that's really where the local attorney said, this is where I'm at. This is what would have to be done. So we went back to staff and we met with MDOT. We've had already, you know, when we started this project, we had a conversation with the state park. And their answer was, we did this recently. It took about 2 years. And we gave them an access because it was a landlocked parcel, okay? Needed legal access. We've had those in East Bay Township before, and we know what that causes, but that's why they did this.
If you could, Jug, and I always have an issue with this. You use pronouns.
Okay.
And I don't know who the pronoun is necessarily referring to.
Okay.
So rather than the pronouns, if you could just give a name.
Give a name.
Mm-hmm.
So we met with MDNR, the state parks manager, And at that time, because they've changed recently too, Tim Schreiner, who was the district rep for DNR, okay, and she said, now, and that's what you have in your letter tonight, and this is what we presented to MDOT too, and MDOT understands this in working through the state Department of Transportation. The parks department maintains and operates the parks. But if you wanted to open up a park to access, okay, you're dealing with fisheries, biology, forestry, historical, all those different departments have to review this. And it's not a weighted scale approval. Any one of those entities can say no for whatever reason, whether it be a warbler or a snail or a trout, or a tree, you know, any one of those. And then it goes to management and budget, okay, to understand the real property issues, value, encroachments. By having this encroachment, does it make our property less valuable or more valuable? So...
Can I ask something real quick?
Right.
To interrupt you, but in the interest of expediency, we're talking about the cross connections.
Yes.
And he drew them on the paper.
Right.
That's all we got to do, really, because we can't force the people on either side to do nothing until they come to us. Then they'll have to hook up to where he put them. So I think this is pretty much a done deal that we should be able to move on.
We're doing that. The issue is they still got to have a second access to solve the fire department's, the township's fire department orders.
But that's obviously not coming from either of these guys.
Right, yeah. Right.
I'm getting the sense, Ted, that you understand the issue. I just want to make sure that everybody else
right.
does, too.
Mm-hmm. So to satisfy MDOT, MDOT says, all right, you've done your due diligence fairly well, Doug. Now, we believe you're probably right. You know, give us letters to that effect, and we believe you've worn out your...
You tried.
And so we're going to give you this other entrance that we've shown on this plan now, curb cut. It's going to be an entry only, okay? There is discussion yet to be done because, see, when MDOT permits something, they permit it and they're done, okay? We talk to them that once and if... either of these connected, because someday something's going to happen to Hampton, they're going to have to come in for a maintenance garage or an addition, and they're going to have to comply. That may go away. MDOT doesn't know what to do with something that's once it's permitted and installed, how it goes away. It doesn't sunset. Okay? But that's something that staff and us has, and the fire department has discussed. Okay? I want you to know that. So...
Right, and we include it in our conditions.
Right.
It's within 60 days of
another
alternative access being available, that one goes away.
Right. So, but it's an entrance only. It's as small as the fire department allows. It's got the radius the fire department needs, because we actually talked about making the radius smaller, and they said no, because fire trucks are coming from both cases, both ways. So we think we've got... So I have Metro Fire... I have MDOT saying, with this, we're pretty much on board. I understand that the township still has ordinances about distance and number of curb cuts, and we will have to take this to the ZBA, okay, with the same hardships and things like that, and same conditions, same findings. But that's where we're at, basically, on the access.
Will it have a gate, then?
No, this is not gated.
So they're just going to have signs to try to keep you...
Because away. If they don't want a fire truck or an emergency vehicle or anyone else stopping here on the highway, because mm-hmm. that'd be worse than anything, you know. So it'll be the best we can do. People who will abide by it will abide by it. We know we have these issues other places in the mile, you know.
Right.
But it is, you know, we have to assume that people are going to follow the law. You know, so.
And I'll interrupt you too now. As I understand it, then, if we approved it, and there's some other issues here, but if we approved it, it would be subject to approval by the ZBA that would allow
yes.
that additional curb
right.
cut.
Right, right. Yeah. We're into that chicken and egg thing,
yep.
you know.
The ZBA
yep.
can do that, Leslie?
Yes, it is a dimensional request.
Mm-hmm. That's considered a dimensional
request? Yeah, because it's
yes.
one every 400 feet.
Oh, it's just the 400 feet. Oh, okay. I got you. That's right.
Okay, so that's where we're at on that. And I think everybody's done their work. I mean, trying to do what's best and, you know, these kind of things. So the other issue was this character issue as to the location of the building. I have... Doc, and I said when I left you in May, I said, well, let me come back with some pictures and some studies and things like that.
And so what I've done, I'm going to move this out of the way. I looked at your... Well, let me get back to the phone like this. Okay.
So I looked at your ordinances. I looked at the master plan. I looked at the intent. I looked for any documented character studies to work from. I will say, to start the discussion off, I'm inside these setbacks. I have done 8 different projects, 9 with this project here, 10 with the one that you'll see in about a month. and I will say I have never seen this standard applied before in this manner. Okay? I've got to say certain things for the record here. I've never seen this utilized before. What you're looking at now is the a survey, a discussion of the existing character along the corridor. Existing character develops over generations in a community like this. It's surprising, you know, you think about all the changes, how little, frankly, has changed, and what I'm going to show you is 25 years, a quarter of a century here. And I hope you can see this. I don't know if we can do anything with the lights, Leslie, or... but the red square represents our site, the 4 acres. To the east, I've got my pointer. So this is the state park, wonderful. This is the beach right here, 3 Mile Road, the Tart Trail. I think this is the Comfort Inn down here, Pinestead Reef, and Larry's is still there. So, the Hampton Inn is in here, AAA office, 3 Mile Road. And you'll see the old Indian Trails Hotel up here, Mitchell Creek coming through. So 1993, 25 years ago, it's hard to believe. Turn that thing on. 94, this is great with these maps, how you can watch this. Again, actually, you can see Funland is still active at this point. Starting to, when we used to overlap our orthographic photos, Mr. Syke, back at county planning, you have to go to Midge and get her to drag them out. So, but you're starting to see some development over here, but nothing in here has changed. 99, nothing's changed. 2005, the next map, we got color TV now. And we just lost Larry's. Sorry. So, but the state park is here, Comfort Inn. You're looking at some of these long properties in here, some of the properties that are guided by the setbacks in Mitchell Creek in here. We got the green box building, the old Republic Bank happening. The donut shop is there still, the old gas station where the Bear Store is. So, again, not seeing a whole lot of change in there. Let me see. 2011 is the next one. 2011, you're seeing now our Bear Store, which... yep, on that parcel, it's closer to the road, but also on that parcel, that's as far back as you can build, okay? And you're going to start to see some of that here. When we talk about proximity to where people have built, what's curious and what makes the Miracle Mile work is that it is so eclectic. It is not square lots along an alley in a grid pattern. It comports to the direction of the bay, Mitchell Creek, the watershed, railroad corridors, all these things make up how these lots became parcels of land and how people developed those lands. I wouldn't say that the Comfort Inn, which I added on the last 200 feet several years ago, is the idealistic picture of a hotel, but it's what fit on the lot. Quality Inn, Comfort Inn when I worked on it, I think it was. I mean, every one of these have a reason why they are what they are. And I guess what I'm saying is there was no, at this time, character or intent that carried through to say this is what the buildings were going to look like along here. Even when you see the development of the Culver's. I mean, the Culver's store is based on the building and the proximity to the stacking movements required for the drive-through. That's how that building was sited. So, but this parcel is an important parcel. It's one of the biggest ones remaining, probably in this generation, that's going to see redevelopment, along with what's happening on the 4 Mile Road. 2012, again, at 30,000 feet, we're not seeing a lot of character change anywhere along. This is about a 3,000-foot radius, so you're about over a mile. So when we look out regionally, I'd like to say that we can look, you know, 2-3 miles and down to Acme, but, you know, you take a mile in almost any community, especially when you look at south and around this radius, because that all has to be encompassed in this study too, what's happened. That's a big part of your community here to study. 2015, we now got the new hotel along the bay here. Some of the Denny's is now where Ponderosa was, but again, no changes, a lot of reuse of the buildings. We've lost Indian Trails in that corridor. And what's surprising through all these studies is, and having worked on a lot of the hotels, we don't really have that many more hotel rooms than we had 25 years ago. It's hard to believe. But you have to understand, you know, Knights Inn is where Peninsula Bay was. Indian Trails is now a piece owned by the tribe that's not developed. So though we lost those couple hundred rooms. Where Tamarack Lodge was, that was several, you know, a couple hundred rooms that we lost. Now we've added on more. But things have changed in that demographic. But what has changed along this character, and that's what I am very... my client is very aware of, is we've about doubled the amount of traffic in that 25 years that comes down that highway. We've gone from 19,000 trips to 34,000 trips in that 25 years. And it's all different kinds of vehicles. Without you just had the road redone, there is no speed control devices. We have what we'll call a pedestrian way at best, a 5-foot sidewalk along this resort neighborhood. But when we talk about the character, I'm not seeing the change. But as I said, come on, let's go back one more. We looked at it in a couple different angles. So this is fall. Fall at Traverse City State Park. This is about just at the western approach with what Google Earth can do, which is scary, you know. But they are in the wrong lane looking the wrong way. So when you look at this. So you're looking to the east, to the south, or to the southwest. You can see the Hamptons in here. The beach over here. And what we did was we hired Scott Smith, Custom CAD Solutions, who Scott does 3D renderings not only for realtors and developers but also for attorneys and incident suits and insurance companies and these kind of things to do a pretty good life scale report on what that hotel would look like. So he's in the right lane, looking the same way, southwest. And this is our building behind those trees as proposed. Okay? You can see the Hampton, again, over in this area here. We didn't put all the trees in and all here because that creates a big computer model. So you're about, this is about 600 feet away. This would be your stopping site distance. For our building, if you were at, this is what MDOT would call it. You're about 600 feet, you start seeing things, and you want to start making decisions on here. So we did one from the Hampton. Not sure if this one's in the setbacks or not, but it gets pretty tight in there with their drop-off lane. So this is looking now southeast. You can see the approaches that exist into Arnie's Funland as it was there, the eastern approach, and the state park boundary is back in here. And Scott actually went out this time to actually have to show the building from Hampton as we propose it. If anything in this area, what I'd say we need to do in order to maintain the existing character, which is what your ordinance says we have to do, we should do some more street trees or deciduous trees along the western boundary of our development, so it looks more like natural East Bay does. Whoop, I didn't want to do that. So this is the front of our site. Not real pretty. I know we all know it. It's looked like this for a long, long time, except that hill used to be a lot bigger, and there used to be a boat on top of it.
If I can just interrupt, Doug, I think one of the things we talked about at the last meeting was whether you would have those same visions from the east and the west with the building moved up.
Getting there.
Okay. Okay.
Getting there.
Because I didn't see those in the photographs. But
yeah, they're
okay.
They should be in there. So this is our building as proposed, 80 feet high, about 240-some feet back. Again, if anything in here, what this tells me is with our plans, we should do some street trees along here. And I believe, you know, the friction in this case is going to be caused not by a building that's 100 feet away to slow traffic, but by making sure we carry that street tree canopy down the street. Incredibly important. Now, I had to go into, and Rick did too, into some of these, the master plan stuff, and I got to get this stuff on the record. I know it's laborious, but that's where we're at. The main policy set forth in the 2015 master plan continued to be an attractive place to live, and residents and visitors alike to enjoy its natural features. The natural features that define the character of the township are of vital importance, and protection and enhancement of these features is central to land use decision. To attract and retain, invest in quality in the residential neighborhood and desired commercial land uses. The long-term health and vitality of the community hinges on our ability to attract and retain investment in quality residential neighborhoods and desired commercial land uses. The rest go into some more policy issues, but what I hear is maintaining the natural character of this area. These were the priorities that came out of your surveys in 2015. Protecting natural areas was number two. Protecting private property rights and responsibilities was number three. Out of 14 issues, number three in importance to your citizens in that survey was protecting private property rights. Next was protecting open space and views. And again, as I look at that corridor of what's existing and what we're proposing, we shouldn't. The ideal is that we shouldn't be able to see that hotel along a corridor in the public view shed.
Yeah, I think the existing view sheds and things we're talking about from uplands.
Well,
but so I don't, in my view, I don't know that.
Okay.
Applies.
But that's they're the goals that your people voted on in this township. Now
I'm not arguing with you.
Right.
But I don't think it was voted on either. I think it was those who responded to the survey. So
right.
It wasn't a formal vote.
I agree. It was a survey data. Okay. But it is the basis for your master plan. Now, your planner took this one and uses it in his study. He uses the last line. Achieve a desirable and sustainable future for the corridor. He puts that as a point that I need to make and you need to make a decision on because it's in your master plan. I had to put this slide in here because I have to say that you have to use this entire sentence. You cannot cut out that last half of that sentence. This whole sentence says, according by the year 2025, in terms of economic development goals, the township will work with business and land owners along the Bayshore to initially form a constituency for meaningful improvement and eventually outline economic development and redevelopment strategies to achieve a desirable and sustainable future for the corridor. I'm going to say, in my opinion, as I stand here tonight, that the planner took that line, that last line, and took it out of context. Okay? That's my opinion. I'm just saying this for the record. It also says that we should complete an analysis of local land use, zoning, utility, taxation, administrative policies, and procedures to understand their impact on job creation and entrepreneurship, with the goal of identifying policies and standards that may inhibit growth and investment with little offsetting benefit to the other township priorities. This one kind of says we should be looking at what our fire department ordinance says in comparison to our zoning, in comparison to our goals and objectives with MDOT, because they don't match right now. You've got a conflict between your zoning ordinance and your fire ordinance in this township. And that's one of the things I'll say at the ZBA. Your fire department has a new ordinance, and your zoning ordinance hasn't caught up with it yet. But that's just the work we do. But the other part of this is really strong. You're working with the landowners and the business owners along the Bayshore. I looked at the regional and commercial area as defined by the 2015 master plan. It says this land use designation is intended to provide goods and services to meet the needs of the larger Grand Traverse region and traveling public, including jobs for residents and goods and services for residents and the tourist and business traveler markets. Facilities will be developed in harmony with the area's natural features in a scale and form to promote smooth traffic access and preserve views along the bay and other important features. So that's covered, but the first part of the sentence is that area is designed to provide jobs and goods and services for the greater Grand Traverse region and the traveling tourism market. Now, so when we talk about moving this building forward, we've talked about it among planning commissioners and planners. What we haven't asked is what the investor wants, the business owner wants, what the traveling market wants, or the tourists want. If that was your land and your house, would you want your house or your business closer as a hotel, as a place people rest, to 35,000 trips per day? That's what, going to double in the next 25 years again? So if it was your vacation that you were spending $2,000 a week on, at least in the summertime, do you want to hear that traffic as much as it can be? So transportation, this is another one that Rick put in his presentation too as part of the approval part of this, but it has context whether you're approving it or denying it. And you'll see it in your packets. As a general objective, this plan recognizes the importance of effective functioning of important arterial roadways. Greater setback distances, e.g. 100 feet from the center line for all buildings, and access and driveway controls be incorporated for major arterial roadways, including Hammond Road. What this says is, in 2015, this report said any building, I don't care if it's one story, two stories, multifamily, or a drive-through, should be 100 feet from the road right away. That was number 11, transportation changes, first sentence.
One clarification, it says from the center line.
Okay, I'll give you the center line. But forget 25 feet, 30 feet that you're promoting that you have. It begs the subject, how many properties along that corridor would be usable if you couldn't have a building within 100 feet of the center line? I know my tone is a little bit tough tonight. I've got to be this way. I don't like it. I don't like being in conflict with you guys. I've never had this happen before, so I don't take this lightly. There's your master plan. There's the character study. That's my existing character presentation as I look at this.
Do you have the pictures from the views that you said?
Yep. So, and I'm going to get to those.
Did you get them? Keep flipping through. Keep going.
And again, I can't credit Scott Smith enough for what he does. He was one of the first guys to get into three-dimensional, and he does this all over the world, so right here in Traverse City, Michigan. But again, this is the site looking at it to the south from pretty much the middle of the site as proposed. This is 200 feet from the right-of-way, not the center line, the right-of-way. This is 155 feet from the right-of-way. get a little bit bigger. Still can facilitate at 155 feet from the right-of-way. I can have two banks of parking with appropriate drive lanes and drop-off to the building. So we haven't really reduced the parking spot. This is 100. This is kind of what your planner is suggesting it should be. We're starting to see some shade come out of this. This is corrected for the sun for, I think, July 15th, half the year. So that's where they would want it. I have to put in here, this is 55 feet from the right-of-way. I can be 20 feet closer than this and meet the rule of the ordinance. You start to see that highway gets pretty dark there for July. So I told you I'd produce a study of that. Whether you think that looks good or bad, but I also have one.
I'm sorry, Doug. You said you had the photos.
Yeah.
Looking from the west and the east, how it would look as traffic is moving along.
I don't know if I have all those, but I'll look real quick. Okay. I have one other thing that I need to present that's really stymieing me in your ordinance when it comes to this setback thing. 18 months ago, this township passed an ordinance that said that any multifamily building anywhere in the township, if it was over 150 feet in parallel to the road in width, had to be 250 feet off the road right away. This is an ordinance in the township. Now, you won't find two uses closer to each other in style, function, and architecture than a hotel and apartment building. This doesn't take into context, and neither does any of this discussion, whether it's a one-story building or a seven-story building. Okay? Doesn't matter if it's 12 feet tall or 80 feet tall. But this ordinance that you guys approved a year and a half ago says anywhere in the township, if you do a multifamily building, and it's over 150 feet, which we're 205 with our hotel, it would have to be 250 feet off the road right away. So when we talk about form follows function and these kind of things, and you know we've got the similar building, if my building was an apartment building, it would have to be 250 feet off the road right away. And this is an ordinance you only approved 18 months ago. I guess my frustration is you're doing a lot of work to become a redevelopment ready community. And these people are spending a lot of time. And I will tell you, this is what frustrates the state government. It frustrates developers. And everyone involved in this industry is when we have ordinances that are coming and going that have never been, you know, we read the ordinances, we've applied the ordinances, and then we're coming up with this new subjective reviews that have never been applied before. So, you have to take this in context, because it doesn't matter architecturally if this is a multifamily building or a hotel. I can do apartments. We interchange apartments and condos all the time. In fact, condos, if this was a condo development, like you're going to see in a couple months more along the bay, that building would have to be pushed back 250 feet by ordinance. Forget any character, forget anything else, by ordinance that you guys approved 18 months ago. Now, if you don't find that confusing to somebody in my industry, I don't know what to do, you know? How to read you as somebody who's worked with you for all these years. It's really frustrating. I'm going to see real quick Robert and Dusty for all...
Yeah, I didn't see them in the packet. And I asked you, and you said you had them. So
yeah,
I'm wondering whether you do have them.
From the east and west, I don't know.
Because that's one we had talked about, I think, last, and you said you'd be able to do that, to how that would appear.
One clarification, and I don't have the amendment in front of me. I believe the multiple family that he's referring to applies in multiple family high-density residential districts. I don't believe it applies in commercial.
It's actually found in the definition, which was amazing to me. I have the ordinance with me, Rick.
Yeah, but the definition is not necessarily the ordinance.
Thank you.
I would have to go get a copy of it. You might be right. It might be in the, if it's in 619, that would apply to all multiple family. I guess you're right in that regard.
Because I find it just, I hope after all these years I've proven that I don't play games when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, if it's in section 619, because I just saw the section number, if it's section 619, then that would be any multiple family development. And I believe that the background, if you all recall, was when we had the apartments proposed on South Airport across from Costco. The concern was having the linear building right up against South Airport, so they wanted the ones that were as close to South Airport perpendicular to the road, and then the longer building to the back, so it provided almost like a courtyard type look almost. So that was the thought process on that one. He is correct, that does apply to multiple family if it is in 619, which it looks like might.
I think, because I've got 618.
Because I don't think we made changes within the multiple family zoning district. We've made it to multiple family
developments.
So he's correct.
And again, it was stated that, you know, I'm in a hurry and stuff. Yeah, I want to see this thing done. You want to see this thing done. But if you want more slides or more evidence, I can provide those.
Well, I think, I'm only one person. I just know that it's one of the things we talked about the last, that, you know, how would it, because your presentation the last time was the how it would look and the shadow would cast to, as you're approaching from different directions, that you'd be able to give us that schematic. And so that's when I got the pictures I was kind of looking for, that looking through that, and that's why I'd asked that. Because you did provide, I think you, in the pictures, the one looking westerly with the building as you proposed it, I think you do have that, but not as it would be if it was moved up.
So yeah, you put that hotel, that's as proposed, so you put that hotel, that's 250 feet, so you're losing 100 feet. The second bay of that is 75 feet off, so right about here is where the hotel would be on this line here.
Could you go back to the previous slide once, Doug? Is that, okay, that's an actual picture, right?
That's from Google Earth.
Okay.
You're sitting on the road. Somebody took that from the road, yeah.
All right.
You can get them.
So with the utility poles there, those would all be taken down and going underground, right?
The one servicing our site, I can't guarantee anything along the...
Yeah, because it... Yeah. Or maybe those are old light poles. I don't know.
Well, you know what?
You can get them.
I'm not going to say what...
What's going to do happen with...
What they're going to do.
Right.
You know, because they are their own entity these days.
They are.
I talked to them a long time ago. They're pretty... They're not looking forward to putting it on the ground.
No.
No,
on one side and REA on the other.
I think it's the existing conditions, you know, from... that's pretty nasty, isn't it?
But you can also get a ballpark idea of the shadow from the trees.
Right.
Because the trees are probably 40 feet high, maybe?
Yeah, they're green oaks and small shoreline pines, which don't grow
so
well in the sand.
The Hampton is how far off the road?
It's 25 off to the porte-cochere.
And then probably another 30 feet.
To the main building, you're like 30 feet.
Right. So you know, and you do have a letter in the DNR letter. The DNR supports this thing being back. Hampton, I will take an affidavit when it comes to that point, saying, and they will too, they don't want that building moved up because it blocks all their view from half their units. So when we talk about respecting adjacent neighbors, which is another part of your site plan standards, your neighbors like what this is. Beyond that, I'll tell you, looking at Mitchell Creek and the wetlands back there is a pretty nice view because it's facing the south. There's a lot to enjoy back there, too. So the question is, again, why are we doing this? Traffic calming, setting a building back 100 feet is not going to have any traffic calming effect whatsoever. You have to ask yourself, you've got buildings, as you say, are all 40 to 80 feet off the highway. Does that have any effect on traffic right now? No. So what's building another
building?
Well,
you don't know if it does or it doesn't. If they weren't there,
right,
would be the impact. So you can't say that, I don't think.
Well, I've taken the certification. I'll say it has no, in my opinion, it has no set performance. And I don't see, you know, people on the beach, you know, if anything, they drive slower by the beach because for some reason. But anyways, so especially in context with an area that you have nothing on the other side of the right-of-way. So so I have to look, and truthfully, you got to look at that ordinance. It's a very confusing process I stand in right now. I will tell you from my owner, I've talked to him, as I do, because I try to take back your concerns. He has no interest in doing this project and moving the building closer.
Yeah, no, you've cited, and I think you've cited in the master plan about the township working with businesses. The reverse apparently isn't true from my perspective, because I don't think there's any desire for him to work with the township. That's how it's being presented.
That's fine.
It's take it or leave it. And yeah. So from that perspective, I don't think what you cited as far as the master plan is applicable at all, because I think the township would be willing to work with your client, but
okay. He's
not willing to work with the township. That's my impression. So it's either from my perspective, it's either he's telling us to take it or leave it.
He's telling you that he's inside the setbacks, and in his mind and with his staff down there, we meet the requirements of the township, and if the township believes otherwise, so be it. I will say, in my opinion, you've got a lot of appears, and it seems, in the staff report, maybes. I produce things in your ordinance and your master plan which identify goals and rules and laws that are in total conflict with what the planner says. There is no character study. There's no documented program process. I could look through years of minutes and never find any mention of this. Okay? This is the first time in all the years I've been here that I've had
that
discussion.
Are you saying that if nothing's ever been discussed or no point has ever been discussed in the minutes, it doesn't apply?
It begs the question. When it's been stated that this one building would cause a precedence to be set for the entire corridor, and what I've said is that precedence for the entire corridor is it's all different. As you look at those properties, some of them are 60 feet wide and 600 feet long. Some of them are 100 by 100.
Are there any other buildings in that corridor that has a setback from the street as you're proposing for this building?
No, and you know what? I don't think there's another property that's developable and deep enough on that entire corridor on the south side. This is a very high-priced piece of property. So again, I think if you want to accomplish what I believe should be as a resident of the area in someone's practice, frankly, I think what would serve the area better, and again, for the record, I'll say taking something out of the Massachusetts Department of Transportation is not going to go real far in Michigan. If that's the closest we can get to traffic calming, I agree with you. I was a longtime member of the Congress for New Urbanism. I'm certified in traffic calming. I believe the best thing you could do is the other four entities there, not pushing the building where it doesn't want to be pushed. But things like street trees, things like benches, street side activity, I think those have more consciousness and more character to what East Bay Township's about than pushing an eight-story building. Because an eight-story building, while it's, again, used by right, it begs the question, this is the first eight-story building in that whole corridor. So where are we? And that hasn't even been discussed. And again, what's surprising to me in being an architectural student and somebody who studies site design and zoning for 30 years, there's no context in this discussion about if it's 10 feet or if it's 80 feet tall. nothing in your ordinances discusses the form and function of that building. It's all just a horizontal, planar setback. And is that really how we look at things these days? Because if a 10-story building has to be 30 feet off, 8 times that is 240. I mean, there's some relevance, and studies have been done about this stuff. But I will tell you, from your side of the findings, if, again, the best stuff you're pulling out is from Massachusetts. I hate to be going down this road with you guys. So
I think you have. I think that's what you're implying. So
I guess I'm trying to say my honestly without being threatening, Robert.
But I take it that way.
Yeah, you can.
I do take it that
way. Yeah.
But
right. If I'm trying to put you on notice, I'm trying to put you on notice. So mm-hmm. So. So that's where I'm at. You have this. It's all on the record. Again, the everything else, I believe, we've got notices from the engineers. The landscaping's met. Parking's met. Everything else is in the setbacks. That's where we're at. And I'm as much as I'm looking for an answer, I want this to be a well-thought-out decision by East Bay Township. Thanks.
Yeah. Any questions that anybody has for Doug about the presentation?
Here, John has one.
Go ahead, John.
What's the width of the building?
205.
205?
Mm-hmm. Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, you're right.
The landscaping plan is done.
The landscape is done. It's submitted. The review is that it meets the ordinance. If anything, as a resident, as a designer, we meet the ordinance. We've seen the ordinance in East Bay is pretty sparse. It talks about woody vegetation and stuff. That's probably one of the things you guys should work on, because woody vegetation comes in all kinds of different forms. But the idea of having street trees along the corridor and stuff, you know, it's pretty hard to argue with. And that does have a sincere impact on friction.
One of your pictures showed a hedge.
Mm-hmm.
Which blocked the yep. parking lot quite a bit from the road.
Mm-hmm.
That's right there.
Yep.
Is that?
That's it. That's from our landscape plan.
That is your landscape. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then you're saying you would be willing to add.
Yeah, we looked at. I got 300 feet of frontage there, taken up by the two access points. You divide it by 30 foot. You know, you're probably in the 9 trees at 30 foot on center.
And you're talking about.
I'm talking about some street trees. Yeah, something.
Road.
Yeah.
No. Are they not worried about their view of the bay? They're more about the view of the back.
It gets into the point of the perspective. You know, as much as you think about being there, you know, the first floor is all workings, administration, conference rooms, those kind of things. Second floor, you're starting to get the perspective, but when we've looked at it, you're looking probably 3 miles out before you see the water. The plane of the water over the highway center line and such. And really it's about the fourth floor from this side that she starts seeing it. At that point we're 40 feet high. And
so
yeah,
when you put street trees in there, is that going to,
right,
is that, you know, going to negate that once you get on the fourth level?
You know what, and this is where I'm saying on behalf of the township being a citizen, I can't argue with the idea of having street trees along here as a developer. I mean, that it's a primary focus of almost any city, any streetscape. It's not in your ordinance. I beg you to get it in your ordinance, but I'm saying that's one of the bargaining chips I'm offering, you know.
So you're saying if we approved the site plan as you proposed mm-hmm. it, that you would add approximately 9 mm-hmm. deciduous trees mm-hmm. to the along the Munson Avenue.
And for the benefit of the planner, I would say they're 4-inch caliper or better. I'm not at breast height.
Can I clarify one thing? You mentioned 8 stories. Are you counting that?
No, 7, 80 feet.
That upstairs deck is a story?
No, 7 stories, 80 feet high.
Okay, so. All right.
Okay. I'll come to you. Any other questions, Ted?
No, I'm good.
Anyone else have any questions, Mr. Mansfield, right now? Leslie?
I was just wondering if you had spoke with MDOT about street trees, because we received a grant a few years ago to put street trees down there, and the process to put street trees
in there right away
is horrible.
Right. These would go on our property.
I just want to warn you about that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, look at our own County Road Commission cutting trees right now, everything out of the right-of-way.
Well, I think utilities, too, and that's what, when you said street trees, I was concerned about, you know, when we looked at those utilities, they're going to come through and cut those down then on you.
Okay, yep, if there's no other questions, then I'll turn it over to Rick for his comments, and then I'll open up for public hearing. Thank you, thank you.
Thanks.
Well, it's not technically a public hearing. We've already had the public hearing.
Oh, okay, and okay.
I want to thank Mr. Mansfield for all the detailed information. It was very helpful, the schematics, particularly of the building and the shadows and such. We've provided a lengthy and detailed staff report, as well as findings for you to consider for each of the various aspects of the site plan review. I don't really need to go into reiterating them. And then we've provided you with a motion to approve with conditions, and then as well as a motion to deny. If you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to try to answer them. He's kind of covered the time frame in between meetings pretty well, and I don't need to really go into that again. But if you have questions, I'll be glad to try to answer them. And I guess I'll leave it at that for now. And the attorney's here, obviously. If
the
you have any
conditions of if it was approved, does that we would need to include the addition of the 9 trees that Ms. Manfield's indicated would be okay?
Correct. And I'm assuming that 9 is okay even with the 2 drives?
We'll put them in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Because I didn't know if space would get lost with that second drive temporarily or not. But you could certainly put a condition like that in there, yes.
Is there, do you have a thought as to how, I mean, the idea in lieu of the having the building further up front, and one of the reasons is the character, as you've said, is the character of Munson Avenue there, and also the traffic calming. And so Mr. Mansfield is indicating that, gee, I think you can have traffic calming in another way other than moving the building up 200 feet.
Well, landscaping is certainly an option when it comes to traffic calming.
So how far?
Monument signs, landscaping, foot traffic, all those types of things can be.
My question is that should there be, as part of a condition, as to where those trees, how far back from the roadway? I mean, 9 trees back, you know, 200 feet isn't going to do it.
No, so. If they're called street trees, they're going to have to be within a certain distance of the street. And we don't want them in the road right away because we're going to run amok with MDOT. So as long as it's on their property and along the street, they will lend themselves to providing some type of friction. Obviously, the closer the better, but we can't go too close because of the MDOT property.
If I may, we have a 10-foot setback between the property line and our back curb, which 8 feet is kind of the standard tree island, tree lawn. That tree lawn, with your existing new roadway and sidewalk, is located about 15 feet. So you've got the curb to our property line is about 15 feet, okay? Then I've got from our property line to our proposed curb is 10 feet. We would plant those trees in the middle of that 10 feet. So it'd be 5 feet off the right-of-way. You won't get any closer, I don't think, in any situation.
Yeah, without running into MDOT problems.
Right. Right.
And there may be some that have to minor adjust for whatever, sewer lines, cable, or gas, or whatever. In terms of the apartments, if my memory serves me correctly from a year and a half ago, a lot of that was discussion ad lib here at the Planning Commission. There was some concerns among some of the planning commissioners about how the buildings, those apartments, would appear along there and how to address that so that they're not necessarily a long wall as people are driving. So that sort of organically developed during a meeting.
But he is correct in the point that there's not much difference between an apartment building doing that and a hotel building doing that in terms of the structure. So I will defer to him on that point.
John?
Well, when I read that language from that ordinance amendment related to multiple family dwellings, it appears what's trying to happen there is trying to keep from very wide buildings along the street frontage. So that's in the case where that width or the width of the building is 250 feet or more. That's why it's requested.
Correct.
To push it back.
There's not a problem with narrower buildings being along the street frontage. That's why they were okay with, you know, perpendicular ones and maybe even less than, I don't remember what the magic number was, 150 feet, I think, if those were along the road. So if you had a 75-foot-wide building along the road, that was fine. I know the example that comes up a lot is those apartments, and think of driving down 127 in Mount Pleasant. There in Union Township, there's an apartment building on the west side of the road that's that part of a quarter mile long, one single building, and nobody wanted to see something like that. Right. So that was the concern.
So this is kind of an obscure question. I don't think you have the answer, but maybe you do off the top of your head. The Residence Inn and the Staybridge Suites that we approved just a couple weeks or months ago, what's the width of those buildings?
They were both over 150.
Okay, were they anywhere close to 200?
I would have to look. I don't recall off the top of my head. I would have to. I would say the residence was wider than the Staybridge from memory, and probably yeah, they probably are close to 200, if not a little bit more.
Okay, because those are based on your Exhibit 12 as this residence in at 62 feet setback. Is that from right away?
That is from right away. Yes.
And the other one.
57 or something?
47.
Yeah. Yeah, they both are closer to the road. They are approximately like what the closest example that Mr. Mansfield showed on one of the photos. There is a difference between the sites. The main difference is that other, that Stellar site has the wetland at the back, so they didn't have the full depth of the parcel to be able to use. But they also wanted, they actually were excited about having the buildings designed in the manner that they were.
Any other questions, sir?
No.
Okay. Peter, do you have any thoughts with respect to the issue that that Rick has raised with
leave it there.
As to the character of the surrounding area and the setbacks and
well, as you're aware, decisions made, whether it's by the Planning Commission or the ZBA, have to be supported by competent material and substantial evidence on the record. However, that record and the type of evidence only has to be something more than a scintilla, okay, which is a legal term for something that's a little bit better than almost nothing, is basically the definition of that. the fact that the character of the neighborhood is established because of perhaps restrictions, as Doug has described, through property lines or perhaps even a couple of natural features with the creek behind it, doesn't change the fact that that is indeed the character of the neighborhood as far as those setbacks are concerned. You have one anomaly, and that's, of course, the state park, where it's just a large swath of a campground, which this property is next to, and, of course, it has the depth, you know, it's of a size that's very similar to the campground. With that, there's quite a bit of discretion, and the criteria for review under subsection 7 here in Article 8, I believe.
Or section 820.
Yeah, section 820 here, 7. One of them under I, you know, talks about this character where the plan is approved, the plan as approved is consistent to preserve property values and natural resources and to give reasonable consideration to character of a particular area, comma, its peculiar suitability for particular uses and the general appropriate trend and character of land, building, and population development. Now, certainly, there's no question about the suitability issue here. What you have to make a decision on is the appropriate trend and character of the land, building,
and the building area here. The information that you have from Rick has to do with the measurements of the existing structures along that corridor being within that average width, you know, that's somewhat less than 100 feet. You talk about the center line, and I was talked, you know, to Rick about this as well, about the 100 feet. That provision of the ordinance, then, if you measure it from an average center line, MDOT, I believe, is a little bit wider in that area. Is it wider than 66 feet? I did not take a measurement of that. I'm not aware of that. But assuming it's a four-rod, you know, typical road there, would put you 67 feet back, you know, from that edge there. So there's one piece of evidence also that you would consider. But you do have, you know, very great flexibility, and that is why these findings that Rick drafted incorporate two possible decisions that this Planning Commission can make. Doug is absolutely correct. He meets the setbacks, and you have findings of fact that Rick has developed that would result in an approval, and I think if somebody even challenged your approval of this project, I don't think they'd be successful with the findings of fact that Doug has drafted for its approval. You have here an implied, and it's, as is the developer's right, to appeal a decision if it results in a denial or an approval of something that's different than what is being requested, which has happened as well. But there's a case out there, and I think you're aware of it from a letter that I put to you here, but I'm just going to talk about the case here. It's the Township of Richmond versus Rondigo. And what's interesting is this case involves similar language in an ordinance. It talked about the fight was over the approval of a driveway cut, and the language was very, you know, general in this ordinance, and the language in that ordinance says non-residential driveways and entrances and exits shall be subject to approval by the Macomb County Road Commission, the Michigan Department of Transportation, where applicable, and by the Planning Commission after considering the effects on the surrounding property, pedestrian and vehicular traffic, and the movement of emergency vehicles. There were no other standards in the ordinance that talked about those things. That's it. There's nothing else, no further guidance. And the township turned down the application, which was appealed. The circuit court went after the township and said, no, you're wrong. This was an abuse of discretion, but the Court of Appeals reversed. And in their reasoning, the Court of Appeals, you know, when looking at this language, says, well, if you test the township ordinance, if you're saying that's a vague issue, it's critical for courts to remember that common sense is not set aside, nor is the township required to define every concept in minute detail. Rather, the language of the ordinance need only be reasonably precise. I think that it's reasonably precise here under subsection 7I, that the character of the land in the area is sufficient for you to make a decision possibly either way, given the development of the buildings in that area. Again, you can approve it or not. And sometimes these decisions are very difficult, and then the court acknowledged that, saying, you know, if facts establish that a proposed driver would not interfere with vehicular and pedestrian traffic, would not create problems with respect to responses by emergency vehicles, and would not harm surrounding property, the governmental bodies could not soundly deny approval of the application to construct a driveway. Facts to the contrary would dictate that a driveway application be denied. Further, there certainly could be situations in which the facts presented indicate that one factor favors rejection or approval of an application while the other factors favor and oppose the conclusion. And I think you have a little bit of that in front of you. Again, we're back to your discretionary decision and the evidence that you have to make that decision both ways. The only thing that I heard tonight that's a little bit new, which I didn't realize, and I give Doug great credit for that, is the other, and you know, John raised it again here, is the issue of why the planning, what's the planning justification for that amendment to the ordinance that otherwise would require a condominium apartment style, you know, residential structure to have a setback, you know, that exceeds, what was it, 250 feet under that? Because I didn't have that in this amendment here. Yeah, but I should have found it online. That's the only thing I think that added a piece of evidence that, you know, that was talked about in the ordinance that you didn't have before tonight. And it does have, you know, some weight to it. So that's something, it's a factor you should consider, you know, when making your decision. Because even though, John, you mentioned about the width of the building, the reasoning behind it, if you're looking at the character of the neighborhood, and you have a provision in the ordinance like that, it's not so much the width of the building as how the building front looks compared to other buildings within that strip here, within your U.S. 31 corridor. That may give, even though I think you have evidence presented to you by Rick to possibly deny this application based upon the character of development that has been long established in this corridor as to the distances of buildings, may give a judge a pause and saying, well, wait a minute, if that's, you know, that may be true and you have this discretion, why do you have this provision in the ordinance that if just under a different form of perhaps ownership or a different type of use, but when it comes to structures itself, mandates a setback that is as great as what the applicant is proposing. So that's the only additional piece of information which I think is more in favor of the developer. Again, your discretion is great in these situations. You have some evidence, and it only has to be more than a scintilla, but you have good evidence on either side, and I'd be prepared to defend your decision on either side. That's basically where you're at.
Yeah. So if this development was an apartment building and not a hotel,
mm-hmm.
and it was in excess of 250 feet in width, then the setback would have to be further back.
Yep.
150. Would mm-hmm. is that a right use by right? Would that be a use by right in this particular zoning district?
I believe condominium resort condominiums are allowed. I think it's a special land use.
Multifamily is special land.
Yeah, use. Right. Multifamily is special land use. Resort condominiums you can do by right, not multiple families.
But a site plan would still be required, you know, as part of the special land use, and that regulation of the ordinance doesn't necessarily pertain to the standards for approval of a special use. It has to do with the location of the building. So I consider that to be the fact that it may be required to have a special use permit may not be germane to the requirement of the setback. That's the planning issue of the
day. So would it be possible if this was an apartment building that would need a special land use in this particular district?
Mm-hmm.
That the Planning Commission within its right could say that the setback should be closer to the road because of the character, or could not? Then could not.
That would have to go to the ZBA.
Yeah, they'd have to get a variance. Because it's a
if they wanted if they wanted to have it closer, they need a variance.
Right.
Yep. We could
the
not.
It says it has to be 250 feet back. It can only go to the ZBA to change that.
And that would have to be on their part.
Yeah, so as a special land use, we could not.
You'd only be looking at the use.
Yep. The only thing that planning commissions can do is sometimes relax provisions in the ordinance, and that's usually under your PUD type standards. That's not in a special use and not where you have a mandate of a setback.
Okay. Any other questions that anyone has for Peter? Okay. So we've had our public hearing prior meeting.
That looks like it.
Yeah. I'm still going back to that multiple family one because it's basically saying when it gets into this kind of gray area between 150 feet and 250 feet. So it's basically saying if your maximum building width as measured parallel to the road right-of-way shall be 150 feet for those buildings facing the street, and the maximum length for those buildings situated perpendicular to the roadway shall be 250 feet. And then it has the exception, and that's where the kind of becomes the issue, is except that buildings parallel to the road right-of-way may have a maximum length of 250 feet, provided the setback is 250 feet from the road right-of-way.
If you look at the drawing, it kind of, on the following page, it kind of shows what the intent was, and I can recall all of us sitting here mm-hmm. at the meeting discussing this, and the goal was to have the narrower portion of the building closer to the road, unless the building was not very wide in the first place. Because really the goal was not to have a wall as you're driving down the road for multiple family.
But the width on this is not up to that 250 foot width.
say again?
Length or whatever you want. The width of this building here is, does not hit that 250 mark.
It's 205, but I think the... This talks about the maximum building width measured parallel to the road is 150 feet. So you're allowed up to 150-foot wide building that's parallel to the road.
Right.
Once it goes over that 150 foot, it either has to be turned or it be moved back. This
right.
one's at 205, so it would apply to that if it was an apartment building.
I see what you're saying. All right.
Yeah, and the thing is, the requirement, the character evidence that you have outside of this ordinance amendment has to do with buildings of a variety of designs that exist along that corridor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure that the correlation of the minimum requirements were under this amendment to the ordinance helps with the other part of the analysis that we don't care what kind of building it is. Just in general, these buildings and these properties have been developed, you know, X number of feet on average away from the south boundary of U.S. 31. This ordinance, this amendment, may make certain buildings of a certain size meet a different requirement. It still would impact the character compared to the buildings that don't have that requirement that have already existed in that area. In fact, requires you to have a building that is different from the character. It's a requirement for those. So that was the new thing tonight. Yeah.
I'll also note that if you look at the buildings along the south side, with the exception of the two Stellar buildings that were approved a couple of months ago, they're almost all perpendicular to the road. If you look on the north side, they're almost all parallel to the road. Now, it's partially because of space, like Park Shore and Pinestead Reef don't have as much land between 31 and the beach, so they kind of have to go parallel. But it also gives you more rooms looking at the water. Bay Watch, Sugar Beach, Grand Beach, all those are turned so they're parallel to the road and parallel to the beach. If you look on the south side, most of them, maybe Mitchell Creek isn't, but the Hampton Inn, the Quality Inn, the Grand Stay Suites, and many others are parallel to the road.
And generally, that's because of the lot.
I mean, perpendicular.
Because of the lot, because the lots
yes,
are...
Yes, you're correct. That is another aspect, because those lots
long.
Are long and
so
they're...
Right, you're going to put a hotel on there,
right.
That's what
the
you're
parcel,
do.
The parcel dimensions and the land
right.
all pertain there. And if I said parallel on the south side, I meant perpendicular.
Right, and that's why the Stellar is different, because
they were able to
configuration, granted, part of that was from the wetlands, but the configuration of those lots are more of a square versus a rectangle.
Correct, and they were able to cobble together multiple lots too, as well, to help them with that.
Also, regardless of the fact that it may only say woody vegetation, approved site plans can, of course, you know, it states a site plan shall be approved if it contains the information required by and is in compliance with the zoning ordinance. The conditions imposed pursuant to the ordinance, those conditions can include a wide variety of woody plants. You have the discretion to choose those type of plants and what you require as any condition of approval. So I think you have enough leeway that regardless of any change in the ordinance that could be done later, it doesn't make that much of a difference on what you decide as far as the type of trees that are appropriate. I know that Judy had mentioned concern about the trees getting perhaps cut down at a later time depending on utility work. I'm sure Doug is well aware of what the utility easements are. That may not be finalized, but Doug can speak to that as to how the utilities would be run from those easements to the building itself, including the parking lot, etc. But I'm certain that they could come up with a method of planting trees that wouldn't result in those trees, which they invested in, being cut down due to utility work, because that will be done before those trees are planted in any event.
If I may, just on that point,
Once
the utilities enter our site, your ordinance is required, they go underground.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the...
But you don't want to put a tree on top of
right.
where
right.
it is when
yes.
you get fixed
right.
later.
But what about the wires? And
I don't control the ones in the right-of-way.
In the right-of-way,
yeah.
So
yeah.
there could be,
right.
there could be poles and wires
right.
in front of
it. Once it goes into our site, they're down.
Okay.
Louis? Yeah, I would like to... this is kind of a hypothetical question, but... I would wonder how many of the existing businesses on the south side of the road would be that close to the road if back in the day when they were developed, the railroad tracks wasn't there and the trains were running through there on a daily basis, blowing their horn at 3 Mile Road, 4 Mile Road, and all the noise. I mean, I'm thinking maybe that's what dictated those to push things up. They had a choice, either the road in the front or a noisy railroad in the back. Now we don't have that noisy railroad in the back. So I'm just kind of wondering if some of that didn't play into it back in the day when they were developing it. You know, maybe somebody would have had their little gift shop to the back if the railroad tracks wasn't there rattling it every day when it went by. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But it's just sitting here thinking, I'm sure that played into it back in the day because, you know, the railroad was going all the time down through there. So I guess I would push it out to the front of the road versus back by the railroad tracks.
Any other questions for these guys? Otherwise, I'll take it back to the Planning Commission. And Ted, do you want to start off and give us your thoughts?
Well, I think that the traffic calming is kind of an idea, but I think the biggest thing we're worried about is a sea of parking lots. And we've been lucky because we had a lot of skinny lots along there, so we end up with a building in the parking beside. But there's nothing saying in the future that somebody couldn't buy 4 or 5 of those skinny lots and tear down the hotels and do the same thing that he wants to do in this lot. And I think that was what Rick is trying to protect us from, or he's trying to plan for the future, which is his job. And I can agree with. I think if that was just one big long parking lot with all the buildings way back from the road, it's going to be ugly and not what East Bay wants, not what the people in the survey wants, and so forth. But on the other hand, where we're at right now, I believe my feeling is there's not enough in the ordinance. If I was a developer, I would have been floored when that was brought to my attention. And whether I could work with you or not, that's different. But I would have said, well, that's not in the ordinance. How can you say that now? Because there's nothing in the ordinance about being close to the front. So I don't see how it's fair to impose that upon this particular developer. I think we could have a future problem, and we probably need to look into it and so that we don't have this happen in the future, what I just said, somebody buying 2 or 3 of those skinny lots and doing the same thing. You're going to get a chance to look at a couple tall buildings close to the road and maybe one away from the road and get an idea what you like to. I mean, if they do the right kind of screening on the parking lot, it might not be as obtrusive as we think. As a business owner, I don't like the township telling me how to run my business. I know for a fact that nobody on this board, maybe except Louie, is a retailer. You have your reasons for doing stuff, and a retailer has his reasons for doing stuff. And
that's why I think it's important that you're on this board.
Right. And so I think that with what Peter just said and what Doug has brought up, I'm kind of for letting them go ahead with the project like they like, and maybe with some more street trees.
So you would support that?
I would support
that. He's agreeable to.
Right.
Thank you. Judy?
I appreciate Doug and all the work that you've done with all the pictures. I wish, looking at the pictures that were helpful, I wish there could have been a compromise on the setback a little bit. And what I'm hearing is that it's the proposed or nothing. I do like some of the other proposed pictures, not up right against the road, but I think some of them, so we didn't see that sea of parking. I wish we could mediate that a bit. That's where I am. Wow. So I'm kind of with Ted on, saying that our ordinance is what it is, and it's hard to know that if those were condominiums, it's pretty much the same.
Okay, thank you. Louis?
I pretty much have to concur with Ted and Judy. I've kind of felt from the get-go when I heard this, me personally, if I owned that and I wanted to have a place for my guests, it wouldn't be right next to the road, and I think I've made that kind of clear over our conversations. I don't know that
right up next to the road. You got these semis going by, and you hear them downshifting and doing whatever they do, and it's noisy. I think to say that to use a building as calming traffic, you know, I think that's kind of subjective. I don't know that there can be any hardcore evidence that will prove that. I would suggest, why not put an electronic speed signs down there that light up when you're going too fast? That has a tendency to slow me down. I think it would work in this situation too. Maybe have some benches out there and make it welcome to people.
Have a guy playing the blues out
there. Yeah, if you can get Quinn Sullivan out there, that would be good, I think. But, it's like, parking lots. We all got to look at something. I've heard people say that there's a certain development around me that looks hideous just because of the way it is. Quite frankly, I think it looks nice compared to what it could have been. The developer, he changed it. He was going to have an old folks home right alongside Hammond Road. All you were seeing is the back side of it. You couldn't have seen over the top of it. That was all changed. You look over the top of it now, and it looks beautiful. So I'm just telling you where it is, I guess. The church sits off back to the side. And I just, for that spot there, with the way the ordinance is written, that says there's really nothing that says he has to be a certain, he's within his rights doing what he's doing. I don't know how you can argue it.
Okay. John?
I guess when I look at this site plan, I think we're all in agreement for easily 98-99% of it. Quite honestly, it's just that one part that I think is a bone of contention, or at least is for an item of discussion. And I think because of the impact is really actually, this is just one piece of this corridor, which I think the community is trying to improve or make it better. When they did the road redevelopment of that rebuilding of 31 through this corridor, there was no plans initially to put any sidewalks down there. They were just going to max out the road right away the best they could and leave it as is. But there was a group of people that did talk about improving this because it's along the bay shore, and they wanted to connect some of those. There was little pieces of sidewalk here and there, but when there was push from the community, and this was mainly federal funds that funded the improvement, the redevelopment of that, the rebuilding of that road, reconstruction, there was the ability of MDOT to secure some additional funds that covered those sidewalks. And you can see what the impact has had on that corridor. There are people out there walking, families out there. There's a lot of people you're using those sidewalks. I think it has really added to really starting to kind of improve the corridor. I think the corridor's got is a great corridor. I just think it has some pieces that could continuously to help improve it. And I think when we talk, traffic calming is just one of those issues on this corridor. There's some other issues as well. But to deal with it, there's not going to be any one. It's not going to be this one site plan alone that's going to change all that. But if we, as a community, are trying to improve this, as we're working piece by piece, inch by inch, it does all contribute to how that corridor changes and starts to improve it. I mean, it's great to hear about the trees, the street trees. Technically, if they were to be street trees, you would have the curb from the roadway, then within the street lawn is where the trees would be, and then the sidewalk would be back. But I realize because the road right-of-way is the way it's maxed out there, and the way the sidewalk is currently doesn't allow for that. But I don't necessarily think that street trees really fit the character of this area either. It is kind of a haphazard area. It's not cookie cutter. It's not Traverse City where it's all gridded. It's a lot of different. The lot sizes are funky. Everything is. And when I've walked through that corridor, what probably would help in terms of landscaping would be to more cluster the landscaping together in segments that would help to but potentially slow down some of that traffic. So the design of this on that aspect doesn't necessarily have to be so dimensional, spread out. But I think it's great because that is one of those, in terms of at least having some landscaping, because again, it's one of those pieces, one of those elements that brought the improvement of this corridor to be a lot better than it is. And so I think that's great to have that. In terms of the building placement, I think, to me, I think it does make sense to have it closer. I think 100 is reasonable. We're not, if Staybridge and the Marriott that are going in are at 47 and 62, we're not anywhere near that. I mean, it's back 100, still gives to, lends itself to what is already kind of going in there in terms of some of the newer buildings. So it seems to me that this is an opportunity to continue to improve the corridor. I think it's reasonable. I don't think this is something that is extensive or putting a burden. I think the site plan pretty much looks the same. It still has all the parking around. We're not trying to push parking off to the side or anything like that. I think it's just a slight movement of that closer to the roadway, which again is that one of a thousand different pieces that we're trying to put together in terms of a puzzle to improve this corridor. So I think there's good reason to have this building located with a 100-foot setback.
Okay, thank you. I the issue, I think the issue here is, you know, does it fit in with the character of the neighborhood and surrounding areas? And from my perspective, if we approve this, it's going to detract. And I think I'm concerned, and as Ted raised one of the negative aspects, I understand where Ted's position is, but he raised the issue that the concern is that if some of these parcels are purchased and all of a sudden, instead of having buildings close to the street and providing that type of a neighborhood, we now have a bunch of parking lots all along there with the buildings way in the back. And I just have that concern that this is potentially just the beginning of that happening and that we've lost the character. And instead of trying to improve it, we've now lost the character. And once it's lost, it's lost. And so I just have some real concerns about that. So that's my thoughts to it. But I also understand some of the other points that some of you have made, too. So I think it's a difficult decision. So with all of that said, does anybody else have any comments? I would entertain a motion one way or the other.
Motion.
And I think the motion should incorporate whatever way you want to go, should incorporate those findings of fact that would support the motion.
Mr. Chairman, I just have one suggestion. If there's a motion to approve it, the way to do it would be first to discuss if it's going to be approved, what the conditions would be, so then incorporate those conditions once you have a consent on that to an approval motion. Obviously, if there's a motion to deny it, the other possibility, of course, is a motion to approve it with a 100-foot setback, which maybe Mr. Mansfield may consider that to be a denial, but that's still an option for the Planning Commission, which would also require the conditions. So if you're set on, I don't know if you're set on the trees based upon the offer or whether there's any additional comments from the Planning Commission. Otherwise, the Planning Commission could, if it's going to approve it, have a motion to approve it based upon the general and specific findings of fact under each standard, which show that the standard has been met, subject to the following conditions and whatever they are, and that's how you do that route.
You're ready, Ted?
Yeah.
Motion to approve 4-18 with the
based upon the general and specific finding of facts that warrant approval under each standard.
You guys getting that?
I'm trying.
That warrant approval under each standard.
Yep. And then with the following conditions stated 1 through 13 and add a 14, which would be at least 9 street trees 4-inch in diameter, deciduous. I think that's what we're looking for, right? To do what we can to block the view of the cars in the parking lot. Which, it, you know, he has a hedge already, so that should still be there. The trees to go along with it. Did he do that? Is that all right? Okay.
You lost your computer.
Yeah, that's fine.
Is there support for that motion?
I'll second that.
So, if I can, it's been moved by Commissioner Henschel with support by Commissioner Grollo to approve site plan 4-18 based on the general and specific findings of fact that warrant approval, subject to the conditions as stated, plus the additional condition that 9 deciduous trees, at least 4 inches in diameter, be placed along the street, that being Munson Avenue. Any further discussion?
I do. So there's a. You want to go the two? Do you want to go the proposed distance?
Yeah.
I'm really torn about. You know, I would cut the difference. I don't like being 100, but 155. So I'm pretty torn here. I guess I have to vote, but I don't know if a compromise. As Peter suggested.
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it okay to look at parking lots on the north side of the road, but it's all not all right to look at parking lots on the south side of the road?
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that, as I said... Mm-hmm.
Speak up, Ted, just make sure we can hear you.
Talking to you, what you brought up.
Right.
Is the fact that it's not in the ordinance in black and white, mm-hmm. the developer designs his project and comes to us, and all of a sudden we pop up this new. And I'm not saying I'm for it. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying I don't feel it's fair to this project to come out after the fact and say, oh, by the way, we don't want to do that. I don't think that's right.
So can I ask a question? Doug, if you do as proposed, how many rows? I guess I should just count them, but I don't know how many rows it would be if you went 155.
Right now we have one.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take the banks of rows, but there's rows of parking, be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you were to decrease that by about 100 feet from 250 to 150. You'd be probably down to 5.
5 in the front, and then the rest in the back, eh?
It begs the question at that point, once you get in a certain distance with the hedge and stuff, you're really able to see them.
Okay.
You know?
I appreciate that.
Lou, you raise a question. I think, you know, I wasn't around when all of that was done, but my perception would be, in looking at the natural features, that being the bay, that it would not make sense to put the parking on the bayside where the natural feature is. And so by just the fact that you have the water there, the parking is now on the south side, which is on the road. And that's, to me, that's the difference. So if there wasn't a bay there, I think the idea would be to have the parking in the back if you could, but the bay is there. So I think that's why, whether you agree with that or not, but I think that's why.
It's kind of subjective what the natural feature is, what you're looking at.
Right. He wants to look at the creek.
He's got a beautiful preserve back there with a bike trail going through. It's quiet. It's nice. He's going to have a restaurant sitting over at the top of it, looking over there, watching the eagle fly into the nest back there. Me, personally, I'd rather be looking over the preserve than the four-lane highway going by me. But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? No. Why don't we take a roll call? I think I know what the result was. Let's take a roll call.
Henschel.
Yes.
Nimitz.
Yes.
Fink.
No.
Rollo.
Yes.
Tom.
No. So the motion does carry 3-2. So it is approved subject to the conditions that have been set forth. Thank you.
Thank you.
I do want to say this isn't a comfortable position for me.
Neither here.
When it came, you know, originally I had other people in my office handling this project, but when it came to this kind of issue, I said, this is me, you know, and it's you, and that's how I meant it, with all respect. Thank you.
Yep, I think you're still up, though, so if you'd like. Next item on the agenda is a sketch plan review of potential development concept, and Doug, you're here to present that to us as well.
So, to be official, Doug Mansfield, Mansfield Land Use Consultants, 830 Cottage View Drive, Suite 201, Traverse City, Michigan, 49685, here on this issue with Alta Vista Development. The managing member is a very familiar face and part of this community for a long, long time. It's R.C. Herman. There's very few times, in especially the last couple decades, as we've sat on all these committees, all these boards, all of the just consensus groups about affordable housing. What we're proposing on 80 acres of land, which would be directly east of the academy, north of Hammond Road, south of Vanderlip, on land that has been approved in the past for a 300 to 400 unit senior housing project. It's been looked at for a business campus, live, work, play. It's been looked at for apartments. At one time, it was going to be the site of the Grand Traverse Arboretum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In the diocese of...
Yes. Something or other. Yes, right. Okay. The land is owned by the Hallbreck Trust, and Roland bought it through an exchange when he sold his land that Morgan Farms sits on, and he was going to be a part of the Arboretum. But Roland passed away. The trust has it. They found themselves, I will say, extremely land poor. rolling land all over the place. And he loved to go out and feed the deer and turkeys. And I think if you go out here still, the turkeys and deer are still waiting for him to show up. So it's kind of funny. But this land's about 80, it is about 80 acres. About 55 of it's usable. The rest of it's part of our watershed and greenways. Our proposal is to develop a moderate density, about 2 to 3, 2.5 units per acre, single-family detached development. It's to be developed, and we're hoping, as a manufactured housing community. Those of you who don't know what the difference is, by looking at the pictures, I applaud you, because really we're talking about bigger lots than what you'd see at a normal manufactured housing park, let's say on Lafreniere. Okay? We are talking about someone who's developed an award-winning manufactured housing community at Wood Creek. Okay? These lots would be even bigger than the ones at Wood Creek, which, again, won environmental awards and lifestyle awards. The property zone moderate density residential already. But in order to have the full licensure of the legislative acts surrounding manufactured housing communities, it needs to be designated that through zoning. So we have 177 lots proposed on here. We're not encumbering the wetlands at all. We're not looking at mitigating them. We're looking at actually enhancing them. We would have a community building, different recreational areas. As you can see in the diagram, we'd have a loop not only for roads but also for the utilities from Hammond to Vanderlip, which is important. We have not, out of respect, again, as I said, before we start discussions with road commissions and other authorizing entities, we wanted to come to you tonight and, you know, just, I know I can't seek your blessing, but again, I hope not to walk out with rotten vegetables because it's getting almost that season for a few of them. And let you know that I'm going to be working on this, okay, and coming back to you and after working with staff and probably it's the town board, because more than anything, this is probably an issue with the town board, because if you're aware of manufactured housing community, there's significant tax differentials between how normal founded property, real properties are taxed and mobile home park communities are.
or manufactured housing communities are. But you have to understand, we do a lot in the rural communities to try to reach out to Mishta, and we know Mishta's not looking out past the core cities. This is our chance to take your monthly rates and your initial investment down by over 25% per month or per downstroke when you're looking at this. That's unheard of in these days, to have a home that's safe, probably under the watch the construction under the eyes of more inspectors and more manufacturers than anything stick built. The simple fact of the matter is their foundations aren't attached to the chassis. And by doing that, you're utilizing one of the strongest and most legislatively protected acts in the state. And coming from the Township Association, we gave up trying to tax manufactured housing communities because it is so protected in Lansing as a form of rural affordable housing, and it's never been more important today when the state is not only looking at core cities. It's in a great location, walkable to schools, other shopping activities. It's not subsidized in any way, so we don't have to look at that. But I'm here tonight just to get your thoughts on more of the use of the property, and I'll take up the tax issues probably with the town board and the consequences of that. So, I mean, again, moderate family resident, I mean, you're basically looking at a subdivision. For anyone driving through it or looking at this plan, these lots are a little bit smaller than the ones that you'd find in the old parts of English Woods, you know. So, 2.5 units per acre, roughly that. Probably lose a couple more, but I'm just here to get your first blush at that picture, and does it read well to you or not? Obviously, all the same entities, like, you know, walkways along Hammond Road, those are still going to be on there. We do show a commercial plot. We don't know what that is. We don't know if it's viable, but it's separate from the rest of the development on Hammond Road, and we'll see what that is.
I'm sorry, where is that?
There's a...
I always get north and south, but this is the idea.
So the idea, you don't...
We don't know what that is. It's a plot of upland.
Good, but the idea then, potentially that would be used for a commercial purpose?
It's zoned for... That area of that is zoned for village commercial. If you guys retain that, I know there's discussion about changing that. So, everything else, all the greenways, the wetland setbacks, the creek setbacks, all stay the same.
So, the way that it's schematic here mm-hmm. is, in essence, is if you're driving down Hammond Road, you would have no idea this place is even here.
No. Yeah. It's a perfect spot. It's a perfect spot for everything we've ever designed. Nothing's ever gotten funding. You know, so...
So is it all you need is the zoning change?
So what we would be doing, yeah, once it's zoned to MHC, which, again, the way the master plan doesn't really contemplate it, it contemplates it on density, so we're not cheating the master plan here at all. If we were looking for 10 times the density or something, we would. But really, you're looking at a moderate density residential development. MHC then would be the zoning, and once that, there are specifics, conditions in building or developing a mobile home community in that district, but after that, if you meet those, it's all a permitted use. Then it falls to Department of Commerce in Lansing, and you have to follow those rules. And then same general as far as billings for a sewer and water hookup, these kind of things, that's the same for that house that it is for any other house. So those kind of payments stay the same. Leslie has a different permit, I think, you do for these than you do. Oh, okay. Same permit?
Same permit.
Okay.
And it looks as though I see sort of a public, and I don't mean public that open to everybody, but a public building for the
Residents. Yep.
Looks like to the south end mm-hmm. with a little parking area, and then there's another parking area on the northwest end. And is that Just because there's going to be a little park there with that pond
there? That pond may have bluegill and stuff in it. So
is that an existing pond?
Yeah, those are actually farm ponds. This was cattle at one time or some kind of...
Ralph Tebow.
Oh, yeah, right.
Used to be a thousands of...
Yeah, cows, yeah. Yeah. It's got good soil, I know that. So
would the sewer come off Hammond Road, Doug?
We would probably, if you were to phase this project, we wrestle with exposure from Hammond Road, but the utilities all want to start from Vanderlip on up.
Including the water? I mean the sewer?
The sewer wants, yeah, would want to come up. Otherwise, we'd have to pump it up to Hammond. So
okay, so it would come off of Hammond.
Yeah. But those are discussions that I need to have with their engineers and road commission about Vanderlip Road and what our responsibilities are there and these kind of things. So
I know there's a butt end on the end of 3 Mile Road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Medium density residential.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't you have to get a PUD to add the commercial component?
Right now, that's zoned, I think.
Oh, I thought the whole thing was medium.
I think that corner up in there, I think.
Which corner are you talking about?
Yeah, the south. I was going to southwest area is
south.
Got some village.
Right
south
here?
Yeah. 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 Again, we don't know what it would be.
Hold on. We're talking over each other a second.
I'm sorry.
I don't know. It is zoned.
Yeah.
Zoned Village Center?
Yeah, Village Center.
East Bay Corners.
Yeah.
From the driveway to the school to the east?
No, it's not even that far.
No.
It looks like there's some type of a creek or swale
yeah,
there.
It's on the
west
side
of
the
that,
creek.
Towards the west property line.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's not necessarily centered.
Yeah,
I'm looking at it because the zoning map shows the 100-foot stream buffer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of on the west side of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be kind of the southwest corner.
Right.
Can't be but about a half an acre.
I know, it's weird. I don't know how it got left in there. So, well, especially if you take setbacks and the ridge lines out.
We did.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You know, what would be the price range of something like that? Do you have any idea?
RC is here tonight, and he's here to talk to that market issue,
the
business aspect.
The question again? I was kind of just, you know, broad. Based, what kind of money would people be looking at to purchase a manufactured home in there?
Well, Wood Creek now is almost full. We have about 12 lots left, and we think that those will be sold out by the end of the year. The homes we've been bringing in this year, we can get you into a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home for about $85,000 to $90,000. We sell very few of those, however. People like the add-ons. We integrate garages right into the house so you don't even know it's a manufactured home. We put decks and sunrooms on them and whatnot. So I would say the average price after they put the add-ons is probably about $125,000.
How many square feet?
It's about 1,500 on the average.
Mm.
Once you're on the inside of these homes, you have no idea they were ever built. It's all 100% drywall. All the windows and doors and whatnot are all standard sizes, not the old mobile home type of windows and doors. In terms of age groups, you never really know who you're going to attract until you open your doors and you see who shows up. Over the years, I've had to do market studies for lenders, and 99 times out of 100, they're wrong. Because, again, you never know who's going to show up. With Wood Creek, we thought it was going to be an all-age community. We're probably 80-85%, 55 and over, and turn into an empty nester community. Most of the people there are local. They have sold their, the kids are grown. They've sold the old house, which they can't maintain anymore. Maybe it's the Widow Jones who can't maintain it. They'll sell their house. They'll come to Wood Creek and buy one for cash and take the difference and either put it in the bank or they buy another manufactured home in Texas or Florida or Arizona, and they become snowbirds. From a developer's perspective, we really love these communities because probably a third, probably around a third of your people go south every winter. And that's great for us because they pay 12 months worth of rent and they're only there about 7 or 8. And that makes it very nice. The incidents of fire calls and police calls and whatnot are nominal. We've had very few incidents there. We've only had one fire over 12 years. I think the biggest police call we've had revolved around some guy who was a cross-dresser. that's probably about the most serious one.
So would this be kind of loosely based on Wood Creek Club?
It'll be very similar to Wood Creek. The clubhouse would be upgraded. It'll be even nicer than the one we have at Wood Creek. There'll be a pool. There won't be a tennis court. They have what they call pickleball, and I have no idea what that is, but everybody tells me.
Tennis for old.
You got to play.
Is it? Okay.
Tennis for old.
You're going to need more than one court.
And yes, we did at Wood Creek. We took the wetlands, and we really we turned it into a landscape feature, actually, and we used that to help sell the community. But the highest renting lots back up to the woods, and that's really a good thing. And so we build walking trails through the woods. We have swing and slide sets for kids out there. So it really does become an amenity, quite frankly. And this community is laid out very nicely, so we'll have a lot of woods.
Just for perspective, how many lots are in Wood Creek?
220.
And how many proposed here?
177.
About the same size parcel.
About the same size parcel.
Okay. So a little bit right, smaller in total size, but.
But the lots are going to be a little bit bigger.
Right. Just curious there, RC. You still see the mobile homes, mm-hmm. like Kings Court and Meadow Lane, and that's just not something you do. I mean,
Kings Court just finished their latest edition. I don't know if it's their last or not. I keep thinking it's the last, but then they do another one. And I think it was over 100 sites. Their homes will sell probably somewhere between $70,000 and $80,000 for the same size house. And the difference really translates to quality. They have the fiberboard walls with the battens. In between them, the foundations are not as well constructed as the systems that we're using.
It seems like their lots are smaller too.
Oh, they're much smaller. Their lots will not accommodate a garage, for example. It could accommodate a carport, one car wide, but not a garage. This community is designed so every house can have a garage, a two car garage, if they want one, and 9 out of 10 people want them. So it's very popular. Even if you're a snowbird, you want some place to store your toys.
And just so I understand how that works, do the residents purchase the home and they rent the site that it's on, or they actually purchase the lot that the home is on?
This is what we call a land lease community,
okay.
where the homeowner owns the house.
Okay.
They lease the lot from me.
Okay.
And for that, I provide the clubhouse and the pool, plow the streets, take care of all the common area maintenance, mow grass, whatnot.
And it's sort of like a condominium.
Very similar, other than we offer a full range of services to our residents. Most of them are senior citizens. So, for example, if the Widow Jones wants us to rearrange her furniture in the living room, we send two guys over there. They rearrange the furniture. And it's not a profit center. We bill it out at cost. Or if you want your deck shoveled off or windows cleaned or whatever. That way the seniors don't have to be afraid to go outside and attempt maintenance and whatnot.
Yes, good job.
Especially if you're getting kind of fragile like me. I fell off a roof last year.
Oh, boy.
And ended up with rotator cuff surgery. So my wife banned me from roofs. Let's see, if I can point out a few other things.
Sure, go
ahead. As you mentioned, the only way you'll know this is here is, there'll be a monument there similar to the one that we have at Wood Creek, South Airport Road. So there'll be two ways of getting in and out. This is on Vanderlip Road. It'll be built out in phases, either two or three phases. This will be the first one. We'll put in the clubhouse right away because we find that's a big selling feature for people. So we'll put in the clubhouse and the pool. As Doug mentioned, the rest of the frontage on Hammond Road is a possibility of being commercial. That's very similar to Wood Creek. The frontage on Wood Creek can be commercial. I've never really done that with it because my residents like the grass, so we kind of keep it that way, and it may end up being the same thing there. It may never get developed because the residents like to keep it in the woods. And the woods in there are quite lovely, actually. You know, they call them wetlands, but there are really a lot of very mature trees in there.
Is it the dark green, the wetlands?
That's actually just trees. The just wetlands, trees. You have to... I wonder... Obviously, you'll get out and walk the parcel, and hopefully when it cools off a little bit, because it's a beautiful piece. It's been farmed, as we said, so it was terraced. Then there's banks that break immediately down, and we don't go over those banks, okay? So we're not... One of the things we learned from Wood Creek is moving dirt is not the best thing to do, okay? So we're avoiding... We may have less units, but we actually are more efficient in our design. So once it goes down those banks, that's when the wetlands start. So actually, the green... is the forest.
It's like a downslope.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the wetlands are actually some 50 to 100 feet inside those trees. Of course, we have 25-foot setbacks and 75-foot setbacks and all those. So, and we're minded all those so far.
I was just wondering about the driveway coming out.
You know, so we've been talking to the Road Commission, and we don't know if it's here, you know, which you cured Carlisle. And so... One of the things is that RC's employed Don Westfall, who is a worldwide, you know, manufactured housing guru. Okay?
Landscaper.
Yes. But this is what he does. Mm-hmm. He doesn't always listen to what I need to tell him, you know, about the local area. So we may end up having to work with the Road Commission on moving that entrance down.
It just seems like you're kind of at the crest of that.
Right. Right. But that's part of the reviews that I need to go out and do, but I want to make you guys aware of it, because, again, that rumor mill is what we don't, you know, want to have happen without you guys knowing that. Mm-hmm. So.
Louis?
Well, this really probably doesn't pertain necessarily to the project itself, but you talked about the tax. Mm-hmm. Is that including these people's rent, or is there a separate tax bill for that unit that's attached to it?
Both. Actually, as the owner of the land, I'm taxed.
If you could come up, just the mic, the camera.
Actually, it's both. As the owner of the land, the community, I pay a non-homesteaded real estate tax for the whole community, and that's included in their land rent. In addition to that, when they add garages and decks, that is real estate, and so the township can tax the garages and the decks, and typically. The taxable value, something like that, is around $15,000 per lot. So the owner will get a small real estate tax bill.
If they have a garage.
If they have a garage. Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you a lot because I actually live in Wood Creek.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I find it's a nice place for my wife and I to live in. So I don't have any, you know, stigmas about manufactured homes. I never thought I'd live in one, but that's where I live right now, and it works out fine for us. I would suggest one thing you might consider, and I know I think the demographic might be changing in Wood Creek a little bit. I think there's younger people might be in there a little bit more, but one of the things that I wish we had right in development is some type of a storage place. I have a storage unit separate. I have a two-car garage. I have a 1,600-square-foot home. But, you know, you don't have, you know, a lot of us are all used to basements and stuff like that. And I got, you know, stuff like boats and camper. I mean, we had a camper for a while, actually. We had stored out somewhere else off site. But if you had, like, a storage place for outdoor and indoor storage, I think it would be a really cool amenity to have. And I guarantee you it would be always beautiful.
because...
That's a good idea. We could take an area and fence it off.
Yeah, and you could, you know, hide it behind some trees, and you could charge people the extra amount to store their... because
actually, I think we have a little building designed right in this area here for equipment storage, but we can add a chain-link fence around an area to accommodate boats.
Yeah. Just a suggestion. I guarantee you it would be used. I guarantee it. Because I know people elsewhere in the creek that have that. I mean, people just have stuff, and even though you try to downsize and all that, it just, you know, there's some things you just can't, you know, you're going to need some additional place to store it, so.
Well, we know, you know, this was just about making you aware of it. Yep. And we'll be working on it with staff. We've already had some discussions. We really appreciate your time tonight.
Yeah, I just my comments. I like the fact that it's off the road.
Right.
And that's got nothing to do with the manufactured housing. I just think it's like you still feel like you're driving through the countryside when, gee, there's a huge development right behind that hill. I like that. And the fact that it's affordable housing, this community needs it desperately. And so I would support that as well. That's my own, those are my thoughts and my first look at that.
I think it would also be good for seniors because across the street you have the Olson store. It has a pharmacy. There's a physical therapy place in that same plaza.
There's sustainable businesses too.
And you got a hardware on one end and a farm market on the other.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Right down in the corner.
Any other comments?
I think we should all go over to John's and check it out and make sure that that's... yeah, right. Thanks, John.
I mean, there's a lot of people, we friends and family that visit, they don't even know it's a manufactured home. I mean, I know it because I could look at it and it still has the lower pitched roof, sure. And you can tell it doesn't have... But it doesn't... I mean, I think really what lends itself is it's not like King's Court, where it's all, you know, a lot of those are stripped out in terms of it's just one after the other. I mean, it's about having the curvy linear streets and the landscaping, the trees, the street trees that are in there that are, you know, help to really give it a feel that's very comfortable.
Pretty energy efficient.
It is, actually, even though this one is one of the first ones. I think this is about a 98.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it still is pretty good.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks so much. Thank you. It means
okay.
a lot.
Okay, you're welcome. Thank you. You too.
Mr. Chairman, I think I'm going to...
Pardon?
I don't know if you...
Okay. I don't know that we need you. Yep, yep. drive home safely.
Good night, Pete.
Next item on the agenda is an amendment to Special Land Use 3-18. This is for the owner, William Foster. This is a six-story structure that was greater than 150%. And this is a time for public hearing and action. This was before us before, and at that point, the size of the structure was stated to be 32 by 46, and apparently it really needs to be 32 by 48, and as a result, we need to have another public hearing on that. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, sir.
This is why we're here.
Yes, I am the homeowner.
Okay.
I go by Mike.
Okay. Any questions? I don't know if all of you were here for this before. Do you have any questions about this? We
no.
did have a site plan site review
yeah,
meeting.
Yeah, just simply clarify.
Yep, I do. So, do you want to add anything, or you're standing up there waiting for, you know?
I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay.
I think we've pretty well been through it, and it's just simply an amendment to the original. And
okay. Any questions?
I'm prepared to answer any questions anybody
sure.
has.
Sure. Any questions for Mr. Foster at this point? Okay.
Public.
No, I was going to do that. Yep. No, I knew that. So I will have you sit down. And then at this point, I'll open this up for public hearing. And if any member of the public would like to come and speak to us about that, please come up to the lectern and give us your name and your address first, please. Thank you.
My name is Gary Rausch, and my wife is Kathy. We live at 176 Highview, the property just to the north of Mike Foster's property. And I'd like to just read a brief statement. We have a couple of concerns that would like to make known regarding the variance. I want to first start by saying that we're not adamantly opposed to Mike being granted the variance. We're sure that he's going to put up some type of structure anyway, whether he's given the variance or not, on the property. And so in that case, because of the kind of noise that's created by his work on automotive, on automobiles in his garage, current garage, we would be glad to have that garage tucked way back in that corner as far away from our property as we can possibly get it.
If I just may interrupt you a second just to make sure. I have a visual of driving from where Piggio's is and coming right down the road. Would I come to your driveway before I'd come to his?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. We're on the north.
And the proposed building would be on the south side of his driveway.
Right.
Okay. Okay.
Right, in the south corner. So we'd be glad to get it tucked back in there as far away from us as we can get it. So that would, you know, so we'd be glad to give him the variance if that's what happens. You know, for not only the setback problems that he had, but also for the percentages over his use of, you know, that he can build on his property. But we do have a couple of concerns. First, we're concerned about what the structure is going to look like. And that will certainly have an impact on our property values. You know, if it's a metal pole barn, we're not going to be too happy with that. It's not going to help our value at all. If it's, you know, a stick-built structure that has siding that matches the rest of the property and, you know, a shingled roof that matches the rest of the property, then that could enhance our values as well. There are, let me see here. We came to the township hall twice to see if there are any plans, you know, submitted, so we get some idea of what it was going to look like. But apparently, I know, all they had at the site plan. So we have no idea what it's going to look like or what the elevations are. And so we came actually twice to see if we could see those, and we never could see a copy. We're kind of in the dark as to what the structure looks like, and that would certainly impact how we feel about granting a variance. Secondly, we have some concerns about whether the structure will be used as a commercial business in some way or another. We weren't too concerned at first because of the original size. There are actually two garages on the two properties south of Mike's properties, one built by Gary Scarcia and the other by Jim Basinger, and they're both, were about, I think, 24 by 30 or 32 garages, and they're both really nice looking. And we see no problem with that, and so that's kind of what we thought, you know, he would be putting up, although it's going to be partially set into the bank there, if you've seen the site. Mm-hmm. But since that time, you know, two things have occurred that make us a little bit more wary about what's going to be built. And number one is that it's considerably larger than we thought it was going to be. and secondly, there's a sign sitting on the property about 5 foot by 6 foot that says Foster Automotive, so that makes us wonder, what's this for, or what's it, you know, is that going to go up on the property somewhere, or what? So this just makes us wonder what the structure is going to be used for eventually. And, you know, even if it were used as a commercial operation, I don't think the noise would be any more than it already is. You know, we're pretty much resigned to living with the noise that comes from the air guns and the you know, hammering and metal cutting and everything else. But so there's nothing we can do to control that. But and I'm not so sure that even if it were used commercially, that sound would be any increased any. But it is a concern. So I guess mainly what we're concerned about is what's the structure going to look like, and whether or not it's going to be used commercially. I know it can't be used commercially, you know, because we're zoned residential only. So we're concerned about, is this going to be a nice-looking structure? Can we see some plans so we have some idea what it's going to look like? Do we have detailed elevations or not? And secondly, is this going to be increased activity there and more cars and car parts and tools sitting around the property like there is now? And we're worried about that. So, you know, basically we don't want to create problems with our neighbors. We try to get along with our neighbors as well as possible. But we also want to protect our property values and those of neighbors living around us as well, and to keep our neighborhood as appealing as possible. And, you know, I'm also president of the High Lake Association, and we work hard to keep the lake in good condition, and we'd like to try to keep the properties around the lake looking good as well. So that's what we're worried about. And if this structure is one that's going to enhance, you know, a nice-looking structure that's going to enhance the value of the of his property and our property is fine. I guess we would be fine with the variance being granted. But if it's not, then I guess I have to say we're definitely opposed to it. So that's just our feelings at this point, and hopefully we can work that out.
Thank you, Mr. Rausch. Thank you, and I'll ask some questions that may address some of those points that you've raised, so thank you for that. So before I do that, though, is there anyone else who would like to speak to this proposal? Please come forward and give us your name and your address.
My name is Kurt Hubschneider. I reside at 4208 Cranberry Lane, Williamsburg. However, I own a property on High Lake down the street from here. And tonight I actually came for a different reason. You know, I was interested in this hotel deal. But so I have a question. You know, I drive by there all the time. The excavating work looks like it's been done, and I'm surprised to be here listening to this communication and these questions. How is the excavating? How's the foundation in on something that is this permitted?
I mean, it's been before us before for a public hearing and been approved. But it was a little, he wants to build it a little larger than what we approved it for originally. So he could start, because we've approved it.
Without plans or anything, you can get that done?
He got a grading permit. He did not get a land use permit or a building permit from the county. So he was permitted for grading. He should not have put in a foundation if that's taken place.
There's no foundation put in.
Oh, I didn't know.
The foundation has not been put in. We are ready.
But no, you're waiting for a decision tonight.
Are waiting for,
right?
Yes.
So I guess I'm learning, because I have something down the street, and it seems that there's a lot going on that street right now, and there's a lot going on that probably shouldn't be going on that street right now. But so I guess I'm just, because I'd like to change my pole barn around a little bit, and can I do that without having elevations and all that kind of stuff?
No, and this gentleman will not either. He just got a grading permit to move the soil and set the footprint for the building. He has to come back and get a land use permit from the township and a building permit from the county yet.
Because I think we're going to need to figure out some consistency on how that street's going to be handled. And I don't think there's a lot of consistency right now. And to me, I think that that's what we depend on you guys for, right, is to bring that consistency and make sure that things are done appropriately. And anyway, so again, came here for a different reason, but it sure hits home. You know, and I agree that our property values are important to all of us. I know, I'm sure it's important to you too, Mike, right?
I mean, what?
We've had that conversation, but yeah. So please proceed with caution as you look down the road. Go to 424 and see what's going on there.
424 is being handled.
Is it?
Yes, it is.
Because he's doing a lot of work there.
He's being handled. He's going to be receiving some municipal civil infraction tickets from our police officers.
So there you go.
Thank you.
Before I get back to you, anyone else who would like to speak to this issue? Sort of a going once, going twice. Nobody? Okay. Thank you. I'll close the public hearing at this point in time. If you could come forward, a couple of the questions that were asked, and maybe this was discussed at the last meeting, but I can't recall the nature of the structure which you're proposing and how that's to be built. Could you address that issue?
It is a stick-built garage on a foundation. The roof is still being decided whether it'll be steel or shingles, simply what's going to work best with snow. Cost is the same either way, so it's simply a flip of a coin. Steel is expensive, shingles are cheap, but labor is expensive. So that we are still working on. But it's going to be a stick-built garage with the foundation, with all the dirt work brought up. There'll be no holes. The walls will be roughly 10 feet tall on the one end to bring the soil up and backfill up approximately 7 foot. And then it'll taper down the walls to where everything is sealed up real nice, just like a foundation to a basement, really.
If I recall correctly, the vehicle entranceway into the structure would be to the east,
The garage door would actually be facing north. So when you pulled in the driveway, you're facing east.
Okay.
And then you make the right facing south to pull in. It's simply the only way to do it.
Okay.
It wasn't the first choice. It was the only choice. Okay. That's how that was decided.
Okay. And then the other issue was the use and the purpose of the structure.
Yep, I work on cars. I own several cars.
Okay.
Between me and my son and stuff like that, we play with a lot of stuff.
Is the intent at all for a commercial use to work on other people's cars?
No, I have a full-time job. That is not my intent. He said something about a sign that is sitting there. It's been there for probably 15 years. It actually came from my father's business 15 years ago, give or take the reality. And so I've just kept it. The fact it was just noticed, I got nothing. But it's been there for pretty close to 15 years. And probably will get hung up on the inside just because it's made of aluminum. It's a nice looking sign. But inside, not outside. Just simply decoration.
Okay.
And as far as dirt work, everything's been done within the letter of the law and the permits at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Did anybody else have any questions?
The siding?
Most likely will be just like a house. We haven't determined a color because we're thinking of changing the color of everything. Mm-hmm. So it's probably going to be vinyl siding.
Okay.
And as far as all the prints, they have not required me to have them here yet because they're still going through, which should be any day, if not tomorrow, that we have all the final on that stuff too. And then they'll be back up here. So they have actually not requested them yet. They've seen them, but they've not requested them.
Okay. And thank you. And this is a question I'm going to direct to Rick. Mr. Roush used the word variance. And I just wanted to make sure we were clear on that, and he's clear that this is not a variance per se, because if there was a variance, it goes to the Zoning Board of Appeals and not to us.
I believe there might have been a variance associated with this previously, but this is the special land use.
Correct.
To allow the combined total square footage of the accessory structures to exceed the principal structure by more than 150%. And I believe it comes out to right around 200%, almost exactly.
And from what we had previously approved, this addition would add an extra 64 square feet to this building.
2 by 32.
4.2%. It was just an error made the first time, that's all.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Any other questions any of you have for either the applicant or Rick?
I'll clarify one thing. The only reason we didn't bring back the site plan also is because the site plan allows you to make adjustments by staff of up to 10%, and it's only a 4.2% adjustment. So we only brought the special land use back because that doesn't allow that up to 10% adjustment by staff.
Okay. Thoughts?
I'm
looking to my writing, and I don't always have to do that, but
I know he did the variance that was approved, so that, you know, that's been done.
Been approved for the larger structure?
Goes with the
setback.
Yeah.
It doesn't change that, correct, Leslie?
Doesn't change the setback.
No.
Doesn't change it either.
Mm. Any other thoughts, Ted, or?
Nope.
Okay. Nope. Judy, here. Louis? John? No. So verbose tonight, gee. I guess, you know, my thoughts is that I understand the concerns. I think those have been addressed. And I think we did approve this. I don't see a significant difference from my perspective on prior approval of the additional, the 64 feet, making it 2 feet extended on one side of it. So I'm okay with this. So I would entertain a motion at this point, one way or the other.
I would like to make a motion to approve the special land use 318, greater than 150%.
I'll second.
I assume this is with the condition that we had in there?
With the condition.
You second that as well, Ted?
Yes.
It's been moved by Commissioner Nimitz with support by Commissioner Henschel to approve special land use 3-18 with the conditions as specified. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It carries. Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your comments as well.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is special land use 4-18 site plan review 7-18. This is an application by Jeff Pettison, the owner. This is for construction of a structure greater than 150% of the dwelling unit. This is a time for a public hearing and action. My understanding is the applicant is requesting a special land use permit and site plan review approval for an accessory hobby workshop, which would exceed the footprint of the single-family residence by more than 150%. The proposed structure will be located at 4360 Prouty Road. Mr. Pettison, thank you. If you'd like to address us with any thoughts you might have.
The structure is planned for 38 by 50. Inside the building is 32 by 50 with a 6-foot porch that runs along one side. It'll be used for wintertime hobbies, basically. Projects, woodworking, tinkering, that type of thing. It's going to be constructed in the same fashion as my house and my garage. It'll be similar pitch roof. It'll have similar siding.
And I'm sorry to interrupt you, Leslie. Could you just, they can talk.
Close the door.
No, but if they could just keep it, just if they could just keep it down, just a little tidbit.
I told him.
Hey. you were nice about that, weren't you? I mean, I'm sorry.
It's
to
a rarity, isn't it?
It'll be constructed to match the style of my house. It'll be sided the same, similar, same color, same type of shingles. It'll be kind of like a courtyard in the back of my house. So it's not only a workshop, it's kind of finishing off my backyard.
We did have a site review meeting at the location and did have an opportunity to see where the proposed building would be situated and just for purpose of the record, be, you know, to the west of the house or behind your house in a very heavily wooded area. And I think you had indicated at the time it was not your intent to take down any further trees that have already been removed from the site.
No.
Yeah. And then I think you were also asked at the site review meeting whether you had any intentions of any commercial usages, and I think you had indicated that no, you did not. Okay, thank you. Rick, any comments? Okay, at this point, I'll open this up for public hearing. If there's any member of the public that would like to address the issue with respect to this special land use 4-18, site plan review 7-18. Seeing no one wishing to speak, I will close the public hearing, then I'll bring it back to the Planning Commission. Should I go this way this time?
Mm-hmm.
John, any thoughts or comments?
I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't have any comments on it. There were some of the public, the neighbors were there, and it seems like once they saw it, that it's pretty well screened for many of them. They can't see it through the woods, so it seems to be fit fine.
Louis?
I'll concur with John.
Goody.
I apologize for being late to that, but I just have one question. You had some temporary structures.
You'll need to come back up here to address that. I just wanted to know.
I'm sorry.
Know the routine.
I know.
I do. I have a storage tent.
Yeah.
I moved there. I put that up to put stuff in. That's coming down when this is up.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's one question I would have asked, and I was running down your driveway and forgot. So thank you.
You're good? Thank you. At this point, then, I would entertain a motion one way or the other on this proposal.
I make a motion to approve.
Second. Sorry, John.
Special land use 4-18, site plan review 7-18. Accessory building.
Pardon?
With the condition.
With the conditions.
Condition.
Yeah, and then you accept that?
Yes.
Sorry to say that I think this is your last official act, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're at the end of our agenda. But, so let me
we'll
state
that
it's been proposed by Commissioner Grollo with support by Commissioner Nimitz to approve special land use 4-18 site plan review 7-18 with the conditions as set forth. Any further comments? Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thanks for your patience.
Yeah.
I can see the
long night for a 5-minute.
Apologize for being late too.
You're just lucky you didn't get to be 9:30.
Is there any public comment that anyone would like to make with respect to anything on the agenda, Rick?
On the agenda? Or no?
Yeah.
I just wanted to bring up one thing that I forgot to mention during the staff report. And that's in the first 9 days of the Bay Line, they had over 10,000 riders. And
awesome.
Yeah, not necessarily all from East Bay Township.
Held at the old Camp Gray Lake, that one?
Bay Line is the new bus route.
What was going on at Camp Gray Lake?
I have no idea.
Did they get a permit?
I have no idea.
They had a marathon. They had a triathlon.
Following up on your comment, does it look as though they want to continue that service then? Are they pleased with the results?
Through the Cherry Festival, they carried 18,000 riders on just the Bay Line, none of the other routes. Obviously, ours is seasonal. Ours runs basically from June 1st to after Labor Day.
Mm.
If you go down the route, you can see the Adirondack chairs that are each of the stops. They put a blue and green.
Oh yes!
Oh, nice.
Oh yes!
Set of chairs.
Yeah, the Michigan
stop.
Chairs.
Right, Michigan That's chairs.
Cool. Yeah, or whatever. Oh, okay. I did notice those.
Ones with the cables on.
Yeah. Yeah. So that you don't take them home with you, Louis.
Right.
So.
Okay.
So you can go listen to your jazz or your blues in your Michigan chair.
And where are people? Those are bringing people in from the hotels for one thing, then.
To downtown or vice versa, bringing people out from downtown to our restaurants and to the state park as well. So it's been extremely successful. Good sign. So we'll see how it turns out over the course of more time, but the start was very successful.
That's pretty
great.
Neat.
Great. Okay. Ted?
Do you think we should have staff just put something on try to get it in our agenda for the setback issue that came up tonight, where we had conflicting rules and also... I understand seriously down the road we could have a problem, and you know, and that's probably what happens. Eventually, a bigger company's going to come in and buy up these smaller ones and put them together, and then, you know, we need to be ready for that. That's why we're planners.
Well, we did bring that one zoning amendment last month with a maximum front yard setback of 100 foot. It did not go to the board. We took it to the Beach District Committee to get their thoughts, and we had a limited attendance at that meeting, but the ones that were there kind of liked the idea of that. They weren't too supportive of the setback on the north side that we had, but they were okay with the maximum 100 foot on the south side. We probably ought to look at that further on how we're going to address that.
Well, is the other issue you're raising the conflict with the... If you have an apartment building,
mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Oh, is that the one you're raising? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that
both of them.
Needs to be,
yeah.
We need to sort that out. But I also worrying about the bayfront area there, and what can we do about parking lots?
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe go at it a different way instead of a setback. Maybe there's something else.
Require parking be on the side or the rear?
Maybe you could have some choices.
Okay. All right, we'll take a look at it.
You know, if you want to have your building up by there, then no problem. Yeah. If you want to have a parking lot there, then we've got to have some choices. I'm sure there's stuff we can come up with.
Okay.
Okay, give it some thought and then put on an agenda for some.
One thing I was thinking that about that corridor is when we talked about using deciduous trees, which are fine, but one thing that's really unique about that corridor is the pine trees.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I mean, especially some of those larger ones. And mm-hmm. if there's any development along there, we want to make sure we at least preserve those older ones that are still standing. But there's also just that kind of, that's what makes this area feel like you're up north, is mm-hmm. that of the presence of the pines.
Yeah, the white pine.
And I know they're not great for, you know, putting along the streets, but they're there. The older ones are still standing. A lot of places, mm-hmm. if you go down there, they're out in front of stores and some of the hotels and everything like that. And I think on this site there isn't anything out by up front on that site, but just to be thinking in terms of a landscaping, don't forget the pines, because they are certainly a character of quality that is unique or is different than just a regular deciduous mm-hmm. tree.
And they don't lose their trees, their leaves. Yeah,
that's good. Incorporate them in their landscaping somewhere.
Yeah, and that's where I think if you go less mm-hmm. of the, to be thinking of it, not to be thinking of kind of a cluster approach mm-hmm. uh-huh. as opposed to formal.
Like a street, row. So
row. Yeah,
because you know, a few trees here and a few trees there.
Yeah, because a lot of the hotels along there and other stores and stuff like that, it's kind of that, it's not all organized like that. It makes it very attractive.
And I apologize for having to leave the room during that. I had a nosebleed that did not want to stop. Was the decision just to have the nine in a row, or was it to just have nine and we could figure out?
I don't think it said in a row, but it was discussed that it would be within that strip between the right-of-way and or the sidewalk and where their parking lot would be. It was talked about being in that strip. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they could be clustered if we mm-hmm. wanted to.
Yeah, and I think Doug will work with us on that.
Did
you specify deciduous or did you just say street?
And if you think, and I guess, and I don't know that you need to come back to us, but if you think that evergreens are better than deciduous, then I wouldn't have a problem if you exercise that.
Did you specify deciduous or something?
We did say deciduous.
Okay. Right. We did. But I guess I'm not. I mean,
John. I'll let you know.
We can authorize that small of a change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
don't let designers and
don't let her off big on the hedge.
Yeah,
right.
We want the hedge.
We want the hedge.
Hedge our bets.
I call them leaf catchers.
Leaf catchers.
We
call them. Can't see over them.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Anything else? Okay. With that, we're adjourned. Thank you.